We have over 1,300 documented cancer victims right now, just in a 1 mile radius. I'll be quite honest with you, it's changed my life so radically. Sometimes I don't even know who I am.
1,300 people in a 1 mile radius. And what's causing so much sickness? It turns out all these victims have one thing in common. They live next to a military base called Fort Detrick.
Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. Today, May 12th, 2021. Got a great show for you today. Thank you for joining me. I'm going to get into something that I have been talking about, or at least been considering from the very beginning of this discussion. Something that is really interesting. Like, I'm going to even share some clips for you of things that I was saying before this, and how it's just something that was obviously tied to this, or at least that's what they wanted us to think. And that's the same thing we should be thinking now in regard to this new topic of vaping and possibly being tied to what some artificial intelligence computer has decided was in fact COVID-19 back in the United States, back when we were saying that it being censored for it before. Now, the media is mainstream, is happily reporting on that because something they can point to says the same thing. Isn't that interesting? But doesn't mean we should still just jump into this and assume that this means it's a bioweapon or this means it's actually there at all, right? These are just important discussions, rabbit holes to go down so we understand what's really happening today. Because I know there's always people out there that have, you know, not necessarily in a wrong way, maybe they feel sound about it, and maybe they're right, but they feel like they know what's going on, right? They've got a handle on it, and they absolutely know for sure. I personally don't think anybody can possibly know exactly what's happening other than culprits, if you want to name it that. But there are people out there that have that kind of certainty, and they get frustrated when I tend to deviate from what they think is the absolute truth. Now, for those people, it's always about in entertaining other perspectives and other sides of this story. From the very beginning of this, for those that have only caught onto this channel, this platform, in the middle of what's been going on, we were talking quite a bit about the possibility of this being a bioweapon and the reality of the very clear bio warfare program that our government's been conducting for a long time, well past the point where they said they stopped doing that, verifiably so. And it's interesting to see Fauci talk about gain of function research in front of Congress. And it's weird how all this is coming back up. And we're going to touch on all of that today. Now, we're also going to talk about Israel to start off, so you guys have an update. But I'm going to be talking with Robert, most likely tomorrow again for a live show. So I won't go incredibly deep because we're going to get into all of it, but I want to let you know what's happening, at least to the very, you know, where we're at today from where Robert and I last talked, if you haven't been watching. Now, we're also going to get into some interesting research about conspiracy theorists in general and how MIT has an interesting perspective about people that are countering the COVID narrative that you might like quite a bit. And we're also going to talk about vaccines and all the updates and the horrible things that are going on, the sad reality that's being hidden from the people that don't want to see it. And I say it that way because it's right in front of them. They just don't want to see it. And the media ignoring it, I guess, is hiding it from them. It's a very weird social engineered program we see today. But to start off, I want to make sure I shout this out again, and I will a couple more times before we get close to it, the Greater Reset. I'm actually really excited because I'm doing my absolute best to, there's a couple of things in motion right now to decide whether or not I can actually make it down there in person. Because funny enough, Derek and I have never even met in person. And so it'd be really cool for this to happen. But you can see that there's a lot of great people that will be speaking. Dolores Cahill. And if I don't mention, there's a lot of great people here. Now, I'm just going to kind of shout out the ones that are additional. Whitney Webb's obviously going to be coming. I mentioned that last time. But Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is now going to be speaking. Richard Grove, I've been on his show before. And there's a bunch of great people here. Christian Westbrook. But so this is going to be a great discussion, whether via Zoom or in person. So I really hope that you will take the time to look at this. The link will be included. And now the speakers, the times, the location, all the information has now come out here. And you can see all the information for yourself if you want to check it out. But I really hope you'll enjoy the process and listen to actual solutions that don't lean into a technocratic revolution that builds a digital Google log around your life. But To start off, another quick note on censorship, really quick, because I just think this is interesting, not because YouTube, but because of the topic that was removed. Now, YouTube gave, which is funny, gave me a strike, which I guess is my second strike on the main channel, which is very strange to me. I just would rather they just delete it. Get it out of the way. I don't care about that channel anymore. I just want this to continue to be shown on all platforms for people to see. But what's funny is they say, here's a second strike, removing the video about self-spreading vaccines that had over 40,000 views, I think, on YouTube. But isn't it strange that they say, oh, there's a second strike, even though you can see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, apparently. I guess that's, you're supposed to be 3 to remove your channel, remember that? But it's just funny how they're just like, yeah, 2, why not? There's some reason they want my channel to be there, I don't really know. So I'm going to make sure this gets deleted. Let's make sure that's clear, because I just want them to be exposed and I don't want you guys to be concerned about whether I'm going to be on that main channel or not. It should not be a factor for everybody. Right now, we are broadcasting on one of our many, many pirate channels right now. I hope you're anywhere but YouTube, but if you just so happen to be catching this on YouTube, it's only because I think the name is actually Deadbeat on the name of the channel. One of these many people reached out and said, I would love to help you continue to fight through the censorship and show people on that platform what you're really saying. Not so people that really watch this channel can continue to watch on YouTube. Go elsewhere. Go to Super U. Go to Odyssey or any of the other ones, Rockfin, that we're currently streaming live on. Please, please. But I want to point out how 5 strikes apparently amount to 2 in weird COVID world when they want this to be here for some strange reason. And of course, these are from all the way back when I'm talking about Iran rockets, false flag, which we all know the reality. And of course, the point being that they censored this show, which is actually fantastic. One, because it's everywhere else, and because it got a lot of reach, which is clearly why they got rid of it, but because it was one of the shows out of probably most of the COVID discussion that was almost entirely, I would say 100%, but I'm sure I rail off on some kind of opinion somewhere in there, completely sourced to peer-reviewed science from their sources, the ones they say we're supposed to listen to, about self-spreading vaccines, which has been worked on for years in regard to animals and stopping that zoonotic transmission. But Johns Hopkins, as I've shown many times, I don't think I actually included in the show today, but just to really quickly show this so it's not, oops, that's the wrong one. There it is. Oh, is that it? In any case, I've shown you guys this multiple times. The Johns Hopkins document, oops, jumping ahead. Apologies. The Johns Hopkins document that I just went over in this show that I'm going to show you. The links are all in here for you guys to check out on the link to this show. But the Johns Hopkins document that openly discusses as of recently human self-spreading vaccines for the future, right? And they're already testing this stuff. This is not a secret. People out there that are thinking fake news, they just don't care to look at the source material. It's only probably because I couldn't bring it up, which makes me want to do it right now, but I'm not going to waste more time. It's all there for you to research if you care about facts. But self-amplifying mRNA vaccines, also very real, very obvious. All the science is there for you to see. The COVID vaccine menstrual disruption discussion is about reported things and things that we can verify. And yet they censored this as fake medical misinformation. How is that even possible when all I'm doing is pointing to verified random controlled trials and peer-reviewed science? Because they're terrified of the facts. Now, all I'm asking is for people out there, especially those that disagree, watch the show. Like, if you think, oh, fake news, just take a second, watch the show, and tell me that you think the science from the British Medical Journal or from Oxford or for any place that they're telling you you should be listening to is somehow fake news when I talk about it. It's interesting, but it's here for you to watch. And on that note, let me see if I, just because it's going to drive me crazy. Ah, dang it. Well, I don't want to waste more time. I know it's in there. I forget if it's Johns Hopkins or like JSH in the link, whatever. But for those that may be posting in the chat for me, if you're one of the mods, I know you know what I'm talking about. High Impact Flicks talked about this link. It's a new PDF put out by Johns Hopkins. I probably have it up in my show today that I forgot about. That's me, typical me. But you can see it's on Odyssey. It's on BitChute, 12,000 views. It's on Super U. 3,000 views. It's all here for you to see. Ah, of course it is. I'm such an idiot. just everybody have a quick laugh at me because I'm so erratic in how I do these things. It was right there. I had it already in line. You see, it's like I forget that I already thought ahead and pulled it up. It's classic, and I just wasted time, and I'm still wasting time. So here is the actual thing. Johns Hopkins, Bloomberg School of Public Health. You can see right here, for just a comment, you know, self-spreading vaccines. Self-spreading vaccines. And in case you're just, if you read this, it's very clear that it's about humans. But just in case you think that might not be about humans, though, Ryan, let's just skim to the top and show very quickly, you know, their overview, where it very clearly talks about self-spreading human vaccines. So this is a very real topic, but for some odd reason, they don't want you knowing about it. Telling, isn't it? But also, just on a random note, since we're kind of talking about censorship, and I'm not even saying that's what this is, I'm just confused. Is anybody else having problems with Parler? Every time it makes me go back to like the browser, like it says, no, it's like gone. It says 404 error. Then I have to go back, re-log in, and it opens it up. And then it still won't let me post my links. So I'm wondering whether Parler is censoring me or anybody else. I've heard similar things, or if it's just not working. Oh, hey, finally goes through. Never mind. I take it back. Tried 15 times. But in any case, there's some weird stuff happening on this platform. And I'm interested to see if anybody has any responses about what we talked about before. The FBI honeypot discussion, the whole thing. Very interested in where this platform's going and if people that supported it before are still feeling that this is something that they support. On that same note, remember, we've been censored on 1,000 other platforms. DLive is currently censoring and demonetizing KeyLab content right now. LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, and on and on and on. It's about truth, guys. That's what it's all about. And you know, it used to be we weren't allowed to talk about Israel and the crimes they were committing, and now it's we can't talk about COVID-19 facts. It's funny, though, isn't it? Because now Israel is being aggressively exposed in real time, only because of people like Robert Inlakesh, the people like all of us that have been screaming about how horrible this is for a long time. Now, I want to go over this quickly. Clashes is how mainstream media describes Israel's deadly attacks on worshipers at a holy site. We already showed you this. Robert's recent article, horrifyingly sad. And the reality that the media, your media, the media of the country we live in and the other countries in the West are grossly ignoring this in the most despicable manner and hiding one side of the story. I mean, I'll go through it. I can get so into this because this makes me upset, as it should. Everybody, your governments, they're all involved in completely hiding all of this. Yeah, somebody's asking the chat. So it's funny that some of you guys are actually trying to follow all the different channels. I haven't even gotten into about 15 of them that I have on the side, but Mindful One was one of the ones I'd started out using. And yes, YouTube has already deleted the entire channel. I told you that was going to keep happening. We've already got about 3 channels now that have been deleted on pirate channels because of that. Just shows you how scared they are of that exact idea. That's why I think they gave my channel back. Because they can't control it. They don't know where we're going to be broadcasting. They don't know where and on and on and on. This video right now, for all that, they don't even know if they realize that it's T-Lab. They haven't suppressed it or throttled the spread and on and on and on, which they do all the time. But going forward, rockets kill 2 Israelis, 28 die in Gaza as Israel hits Hamas. Right, Hamas, right? Because all of Gaza is Hamas, according to the mainstream media. That's the point. That's how they're reporting this. Clashes between Hamas as Israel carpet bombs multiple locations of civilian areas inside of an open air prison called Gaza. So they're firing rockets into a barrel full of people that can't leave, controlling their water and their electricity simultaneously and shutting off areas which they can travel from other areas to other areas, you know, basically making sure they can't run anywhere and then bombing a bunch of civilian areas. And your media says clashes with Hamas. Think about how disgusting that is. Sarah reports, Sarah Abdallah, Israel warplanes just bombed a 15-story residential building in Gaza, you know, otherwise known as a war crime. Anywhere else in the world committed by anybody else except for Israel or in the United States when they're freedom-fighting, bombing countries around the world. It was home to dozens of families and tens of local and international media offices. Now, if that was a U.S. media office, an Israeli media office, a UK media office or any other kind of country on that side, of course, that would have been a big deal. But if it's any other international media offices, we just pretend like it's all terrorists over there, right? That's how that works. Another Biden-backed Israeli war crime. Now, what's crazy to me is seeing this report about the residential building falling in Gaza. Well, that could be this one. Israel destroys tower in Gaza minutes ago. And you can see... right? Okay, so maybe it could be that one, or maybe it's this one, because that's not just one that's happened. And take note of how it falls sideways, like a normal building does when it actually falls, when it's actually falling normally, instead of being, you know, controlled demolition like we saw in 9/11, which was proven in the Alaska study that very clearly showed that it had to have been simultaneous explosions to make that happen. Who cares about facts, though, right? We're way past understanding that our government was involved there. Who cares? But this is the reality. And of course, this is the point, is there's two of them. So was Sarah talking about? I'm being facetious. It's just disgusting how many and how obvious this is. It's ongoing. Oh, and guess what? Gaza's being attacked. And you know what this looks like to me? White phosphorus. Well, I'm not saying I know for sure, but we do know as a matter of fact that Israel routinely uses white phosphorus on Gaza and multiple places. And it's been I've proven it to you. And of course, they say, oh, we're just signaling people as it falls and rains down on a bunch of civilians. But that's an exact war crime. That's their loophole, though. The U.S. does the same thing. But nobody cares, though, because they won't look into it because everybody else bad guy. Well, Israel fights for freedom, according to the mainstream narrative. Here's Alan McLeod, which I'm sorry, I've in the past pronounced his name. It's actually quite a cool name when you realize that it's, you know, the Highlander. But Alan McLeod, great, doing some great work on covering this recent story. The children were killed in fighting with Israel. Unreal levels of propaganda from DW. They're literally reporting Palestinian health officials in Gaza say 20 people, including 9 children, been killed in fighting with Israel. Right. Not just arbitrary bombing of civilian areas. No, they're conflating Hamas and just everybody there with some kind of force that's all fighting against Israel. That's dishonest and simply false. Also, take note of the 20 and 9, because as I recently showed earlier, they lie about the absolute reality and just completely invert it and say that it was actually Hamas and children that died in Israel. It's not true. And it's actually been shown more times than we'll get to it in 1 second. Here's his article about how the Israeli government is organizing a troll army to defame the Human Rights Watch report, calling it an apartheid state. We just talked about that, actually. Here is his other tweet I was referencing, and there's actually another tweet further on. I believe we talk about the same thing, but in any case, it's the same point. He's collecting many of the most egregious media deceptions of the Israeli assault on Palestine. The New York Post totally reversing who's responsible, claiming Hamas bombed itself with its own non-existent jets. Or more so, what it's actually claiming is it says airstrikes from Hamas militants killed 20 in Israel, including 9 kids. You know, people that actually died from bombings from Israel in Gaza, which is proven. And remember, as his point, that, you know, Hamas with the airstrikes and the air force that they literally don't have. Do you realize how incredible that is? The Independent, New York Post, they all just blandly report this. Now, does that mean that they're so invested in the lie that they're willing to literally invert the truth, knowing we can look that up and find out they're lying? Or were they fed lies from the intelligence community who want this to be the truth because all they do is repeat what they're told? Either one would make sense. But I would actually be shocked if these people would make an independent choice to literally do something that would be so obviously shown to be false. My opinion? These news outlets are just regurgitations from powerful whoever above. And I think that's what we're seeing here, which is just pathetic. He says, tweets implied that Palestinian kids murdered by Israel were actually fighters themselves. Of course they did. And again, these are the 20 and 9. It's not actually, they're reversing. This was the lie. Palestinian rockets killed 2 Israelis, but 26 Gazans simply die under mysterious circumstances, right? You see how they put that? Rockets killed 2 Israelis, 26 die in Gaza. It's just, it's aggressively one-sided, which, by the way, you're going to find on both sides of any argument. But the reality is people like this, people like myself, are trying to report the reality and not just an aggressive one-sided propaganda story. Now, does that mean that I don't have personally, do I feel that obviously there's one side that's correct, I guess? Like, if we're looking at this in an objective manner, one side is an occupied territory that's fighting for the freedom of what they have the rights to, according to the United Nations. Do you realize how incredibly important that is? According to the United Nations. The other side you have is your government and a foreign government saying that's not true because we say so, because of things we've made up that we can prove they're lying about. And yet that's the right side. Like, you realize how stupid this is. It's such an obvious one-sided war criminal. That's what this is. Over and over and over. he's doing a good job on covering this stuff. Israel lies to justify its crimes. Shocking, right? And this is the kind of thing that we were talking about, or Caitlin Johnstone covered, saying that, you know, there's only so many very aggressively ridiculous, like, you know, crimes, war crimes. Israelis in the street beating up Palestinians or shooting children or whatever, that you can just describe away as, well, it's more complicated than that. Right now, we're seeing this waterfall of videos showing what's happening, and they can't cover it up. They don't care, though, which is interesting. They'll just lie, like inverting the truth and pretending like it's normal. So when they put out a video from Syria from 2019 and pretend that it's in Gaza, which is happening right here, another video showing how Hamas is firing rockets at Israel. Nope. The video is right here. It's from Syria, 2019. But the point is, you see, same video. The point is that they don't care. They're lying, and the people that already want to believe them will spread it as the fact and pretend that you're the one that's wrong because they decided to, which is happening everywhere. Just like we saw with the mainstream media reporting that Kentucky firing range as Syria, they don't care. It's all about the narrative. And this is the same point. And I just said, so what the mainstream media is reporting is a complete inversion of the truth. Robert has documented this from the start. This is a desperate act by a dying thing. And I'm directing that in more than one direction, right? That's kind of, I shouldn't have written it like that. But, you know, it's not just about Israel. It's not just about the mainstream media. It's not, they are a dying thing. And they're fighting desperately in a corner for anything. Like, this is, it's a cornered animal. It's lashing out in ridiculous ways because it is dying. And this is what we're seeing when they can just simply make it up and reverse the truth. It's incredible. And of course, a typical statement from the ADL, you know, Israel's got a right to defend itself, as always, but Palestinians don't, apparently. And those who are terrorists, and obviously backed by Iran, because that totally makes sense. And they say there's nothing credible about this party line any longer. There was never anything credible about this. And apartheid is real, like Human Rights Watch has pointed out. Now, I just saw a clip. Actually, you know what? I have it. I forgot I pulled it up. In regard to the State Department and how even the Associated Press and new other entities in the mainstream media are asking. And you know what? It's always the same too. It is always Matt Lee, and I'm forgetting the other one's name. Right. So as I always tend to say, that doesn't mean that I trust anybody in any of these fields, including the independent media. To be honest, I damn near keep everybody at arm's length. The point is that some of these people might just here and there be trying to do the right thing. It's hard to tell. Matt Lee does a damn good job holding some of these people's feet to the fire. In this case, directly asking them, do Palestinians have a right to self-defense? Of course they can't answer, because they won't, because Israel is very clear about what they want them to say. And we know how clearly Israel has control over politicians in this country. It's plainly obvious. ADL statement regarding recent violence and rocket attacks in Jerusalem. Now, because they'll try to do so, let's make sure we're clear that what I just said is in no way directed at Jewish people. It's directed at the horrible Israeli government that's murdering people right now. Period. But that's all they can do with this. Racism. That's anti-Semitism. Nope. Not even close. Israel. No ceasefire with Hamas. Attacks on Gaza will be expanded. Right. So we're talking about an open air prison where they can't leave as they're fighting back. And remember, as Robert has told you, they have been using far more sophisticated weaponry. Now, also make this point. Recognize the fact that if Hamas or anybody else in Gaza has been holding back on more sophisticated technology this whole time, or at least recently, because he's reported this a while ago. Do you realize what that shows you? That shows you incredible restraint in the face of horrific war crimes, which, by the way, would probably frustrate Palestinians. You realize, but just, it's the same point about Iran. As they try to paint these people as irrational maniac terrorists, yet they're showing restraint in not using weapons that they could have when Israel was indiscriminately murdering people. I mean, it's just crazy. But now we see them driven to such a point where they did respond. And clearly we can see what's happening. Bombing hitting in Jerusalem, right? This is people who are occupied with the legal right to armed rebellion, according to the United Nations. You cannot misunderstand that point. More rockets coming, right? So here we are as they're continuing to expand their war on a place where people are forced to stay, essentially, with controlled everything. And they're just simply going to say, well, we're going to fight back. Of course, we're going to fight back. This is the reality that continues. And as Roberts continued to point out, all of this was driven by Netanyahu, to most likely to save his political career. Now, whether this got out of hand, whether he didn't expect this to continue this way or not, is irrelevant, in my opinion. It's here. And as Robert says, this seems to be the third intifada. This is a real thing happening. We have people in this, like the city of Lod, we see people like Palestinians are literally pushing back IDF and police on the area. Now, here it is, just a statement from Reuters or from Benjamin Netanyahu saying at the conclusion of the situational assessment, it was decided that both the might and the attacks of the frequency of the attacks will be increased. Right. So that translates to we're going to continue to indiscriminately bomb a massively civilian area. Millions of people, half of them children. And they're going to continue to attack this area with increased might and frequency. That's called collective punishment. Doesn't matter, though, because they don't care. Here is the State Department speaking on what's going on right now, and it won't surprise you what he has to say.
We're speaking of the principle of self-defense.
I'm asking if you think that the principle of self-defense applies to the retaliatory airstrike.
And that's a great point, actually, just to start off. This should be a ridiculously basic thing to answer. He's saying that, okay, well, if you want to argue that they're defending themselves, so Israel defends themselves, doesn't that then mean right then that that gives the other side the right to, quote, defend itself because they're striking? So based on the definition, then they can defend themselves because you're being attacked, regardless of how it began. You don't get to make this tit for tat and be like, well, no, you started it, so I get to fight back, and then you don't have to sit there. Like, what is this, kindergarten? Right? This is how they try to pretend and play this. But the reality is they only think Israel at any time has the right to fight and attack and defend, and it's all the same thing. They just name it different things in different circumstances. Well, the Palestinians never do, apparently. They can't attack, they can't defend themselves. But it's all fair, and it's freedom, and it's a democracy over there, right?
This is a very fluid situation. I would hesitate to comment on operations beyond...
You know how ignorant that response is? So is this the first time this has ever happened? Are we confused about what's happening? This is the same old, ridiculous, ongoing situation for decades. So he's going to pretend like, well, I don't know right now. He's asking in general, do you think they have a right to respond after airstrikes? This is the painful reality. I used to watch these more than I should, and it is ridiculous. You never get answers because they're always lying. We all know this deep down.
You know, the rocket fire that is clearly targeting innocent civilians in Israel. So I would hesitate to
speak. This is the great point that Robert always makes. You realize how dumb this is, because what they're saying is, well, they're claiming it's war crimes because they're saying that they're firing rockets that don't have the proper guidance. So that means so it's dangerous. So they're calling it a war crime. But then that same sentence, they say targeting civilians. How exactly do you target civilians without guidance, which makes them war crimes? It's so easy to point this stuff out, guys. And this is everywhere. Like, I made the point in the same discussion. I said, okay, well, the United States very clearly has the ability to be pinpoint precise and yet just chooses not to be. There's been 1,000 articles about that. Just bombing and with, you know, clearly not being pinpoint accurate despite what they claim, killing civilians all the time, probably because that was the point. But yet here we have an argument that says that they don't have, which we clearly saw them use. So you can't claim it's technologically deficient. So they want to continually frame them as this ridiculous thing that no one should care about. But yet they're a big force that's hurting us when they want it to. And that makes it a big issue that we have to fight. You see, it's all whatever they need to say in the moment. These people are horrific liars.
Speak to specific operations that have just occurred, but the broader principle of self-defense is something we stand by on behalf of Israel. Yeah, and everyone think
that on behalf of Israel, right? Like, what a coward. And again, it is so ridiculous to even have this conversation. Who doesn't have a right to self-defense? Are we actually pretending that some do and some don't? Like that guy over there, that country, they don't have a right to self-defense, but Israel does. They do. This one doesn't. So why even have the argument if it's no-brainer that anybody anywhere who's being attacked or defending them has a right to self-defense? A child knows this. But this is this weird construct that's been created to pretend like they're always defending themselves, and that's why they use it this way.
Israeli military response to the rockets coming in. The military response to the rockets coming in is covered by this broader rubric of self-defense, right?
Self-defense often does...
can't answer it.
The use of force.
What you said about the principle of self-defense. Does that in any way apply to the Palestinians? Do they have a right to self-defense? Do Palestinians have a right to
self-defense? Very simple question.
In broadly speaking, Saeed, we believe in the concept of self-defense. We believe it applies to any state. I don't think that...
You see, and why he said it that way is because they don't state... They are actively... Palestine is not a state to them. Gaza is not a state to them. They're claiming that Israel is right to self-defense because Israel is all of that, even though when they want to, they claim that that's not part of the, like, they play this weird game about borders, even though technically it's all occupied Palestine, right? So when they want to, there's a border, but when they don't, they pretend it's all Israel. It's playing, they playing it both ways all the time.
I certainly wouldn't want my words to be construed as...
I understand.
As construed as what? You see what I'm saying? Like, so right there, he's terrified that Israel will see him say what they don't want him to say, and that's going to be a problem. Mr. Zionist Joe Biden, active, adamant Zionist, right? This is to be misconstrued as claiming that those individuals have a right to defend themselves? Like, this is the point. It's all propaganda and narrative.
I don't know how long to say that, but... You know, the Israelis killed 13 people just now.
Yep.
You know, including maybe 5 or 6 children. You condemn that? You can't condemn the killing of children?
Said.
I'm asking, do you condemn the killing of Palestinian children?
Obviously, in these reports are just emerging, and I understand, I was just speaking to the team, I understand we don't have independent confirmation of facts on the ground.
If it was asked point blank, do you condemn the killing of Israeli children? He would say absolutely, in the most severe terms. These people are horrific. I mean, they're just I don't know why anybody at any point in any time thinks that what they're saying is remotely true. I think most people realize that by now. But to lie about this makes this person a horrible person. You're a bad person. And you're going to, and that's why I tend to think this is why these people come and go. Do you see how often we're seeing them come and go? I heard Jen Psaki's going to be stepping down because they are the ones on the spot. They lie more than anybody in the entire administration. They're constantly lying and sidestepping. And we all see it. It's the worst position. What's his name? Sean Spicer. That guy got worked and it you saw it on his face. He was unhappy because they're lying. And I don't think all these people are fully aware of just how dishonest they must be.
Yes, so I'm very hesitant to get into reports that are just emerging.
Of course you are. But he didn't ask about reports that are emerging. He said, do you in general condemn the death of Palestinians? I don't know. I don't want to wait and see. As they say, South African leadership knows the crimes of apartheid Israel when they see them. Yes, they do. On a last note on this, which I just found an interesting point. Jonathan asked, why isn't Black Lives Matter and Antifa making their voices heard on Israel-Palestine conflict? Why aren't they rioting over that? Why aren't they over there making peaceful protesting, right? Because they care about life, don't they? Don't they care about these people that are suffering? Well, no, because they're all a bunch of hypothetical. There are people within all of these groups that believe what they're saying and think they're fighting for the right thing. But we must realize by now that Antifa, Black Lives Matter, this is just the left and the right, the same old nonsense, even though those are not politically on the wrong. It's a construct. Right. There's plenty of other groups on the other side. These are things that have been led by the wrong people that are being aggressively politicized and driving in racial division of this country under the guise of some kind of equality. It's just like Antifa. Antifa is literally fascist when their name is anti-fascist. It's ridiculous. But it's interesting how they only choose their specific political topics when they want to. Right. It's just hypocrisy. All of it. And finally, Israel's using COVID-19 quarantine tracking technology to track private individuals protesting against its policies. Interesting. Doesn't that sound familiar? We're going to get to the Canada part at the end here. So the SMS received a text message by people present in Al-Aqsa reads, quote, "You've been profiled. We will punish you." Private lives are fair game for Israeli intelligence. This is not, and guys, we know this stuff. They've already admitted that they're sharing all this stuff, including personal information around the process with Pfizer and all sorts of other people. This is not something that they even hide. But the idea that we're literally saying we will punish you to Palestinians when they're in a holy place, like this simply shows you that these people mean nothing to the Israeli government. And many of the Israeli populists that believe the same Zionist despicable mentality that these people are lesser than because they're not Jewish. And it's horrific. And that's real. There are Orthodox Jewish groups in Israel that are actively protesting about exactly that. And you know what? The IDF beats them up too. And I've shown you those images because it's not about Jewish versus everything. It's about Zionism and it's being used. They're using the Jewish people too, guys. This is horrible. And I'm going to point this out in a minute as we go further into the show, because this is exactly what's happening that will come to you soon. Now, to get into the MIT discussion, I found this to be a really important point. As Kami Lee Jones points out, MIT, Massachusetts Institute of Technology researchers infiltrated a COVID skeptic community, which is so funny, a few months ago, and found that skeptics place, guess what? A high premium on data analysis and empiricism. Oops. You know what? I actually give credit to MIT for actually posting their findings and actually admitting what they found counters the reality. But I doubt this will be accepted and will probably be attacked or at the very least wildly ignored. And I'm just going to go through this on what they write because I didn't have time to actually highlight the whole thing. I highlighted just the first one just so we can see that this is the actual document and you can scroll through it, read it for yourself. I am probably going to go through this in more depth when I have more time to just go, maybe just go over this on the show. But as it says, most fundamentally, the groups we studied, and they're talking about, remember, people like us that are skeptical about the narrative being spun. Doesn't mean you're inherent necessarily, quote, anti-vax or anti-science or anti-anything. It just means that you're aware enough of both the past of these people and the government they're involved with and how these companies that they're working with have also been caught lying, cheating, stealing over and over and over. And so all that said and done, and a lot of other things included, we are just generally skeptical about what's happening now. Now, yes, within that, there's probably people that think every vaccine is bad, and maybe they're right. The point is that there's a lot of different people. There are people that believe all of what's going on, including that masks will help us, but yet still are skeptical about the agenda and the vaccine. They want you to believe it is fringe and one-sided, and it's not. The awareness of this skepticism, the awareness of the illusion happening is 100% bipartisan, and it scares the crap out of them. I mean, I see it every day. But going through this, it says, most fundamentally, the groups we study believe that science is a process, not an institution, which is the whole point. They want you to trust the science. They want you to trust the narrative. When the point is, that's not how science is actually even supposed to go. It is a process. It's not just some entity that you blindly trust. You don't just trust the CDC. You trust the process of the science that they show results and let you in full transparency. And then it can, and by the way, science is never settled. That's the point. New information comes along and you consider it and you weigh everything else. And maybe you stay with the same or maybe you evolve your opinion. History is has shown us that. And yet with COVID clown world, we somehow just drop everything we've ever, it's crazy. I remember the first time I heard someone say that is Del Bigtree when it was during the vax thing. All of a sudden they were saying the science is settled on that matter. And it's like, what? Where are all the scientists that know that is a laughable thing to say? Del Bigtree was the first person I heard say that, where he stood up and he said, the science is never settled. That's what science is about. But think about that. It shows you this weird schism between, you know, normal objective people that realize that science is not always right and that it's a process and not an institution, and the people that have been taught it is dogma, gospel, religion, and science is always right no matter what. Trust women all the time and science is always right, right? It doesn't matter, which is childish. But let's continue. It goes on to say, indeed, anti-maskers often reveal themselves to be more, I'm going to leave it on this view, actually, so I can just scroll down. Indeed, anti-maskers, right? So people, and this is, they use the terms because I argue that this whole thing was about somehow showing, that they were naive or that they were ignoring facts or whatever. But anti-maskers, just simply meaning that you're aware of the risks that those things come with, often reveal themselves to be more sophisticated in their understanding of how scientific knowledge about how scientific knowledge is socially constructed than their ideological adversaries, meaning people that are screaming trust the science without actually looking at the science, who espouse naive realism about the objective truth of public health data. This is from MIT. Do you realize how important this is? It says, in other words, anti-maskers value unmediated access to information and privileged personal research and direct reading over expert interpretations. God, I hope some of these trolls are watching right now, because this is everything that we're talking about, where they continue, you'll cite actual scientific peer-reviewed studies and they'll post an AP link that says that's fake news. And it's like, okay, that's why would I care what mainstream media has to say? We're pointing to the experts. Here is a guy from wherever, from Harvard, and he's got 35 degrees and he did the research, peer-reviewed it and posted it. And you're pointing to CNN? Like, you realize how absurd that is? But this is what's happening today, because they're trusting what they're told is the interpretations of the science when it's, in fact, pretty clearly not. It says, quote, its members value individual initiative and ingenuity, trusting science and scientific analysis only insofar as they can replicate it themselves by accessing and manipulating the data firsthand, which is called intelligence, doing due diligence, right? But they don't want you to think like that today. They want you to think that that means you're a conspiracy theorist. It's quite interesting, isn't it? Just wanted to get to show you this just so as we go through, you know that this is in fact in here. Its members, individual initiative and ingenuity, trusting scientific analysis only insofar as they can replicate it themselves, right? I just want to make just one more time, just so you know that I did in fact look at this, but I was rushing today. I didn't have time to get this highlighted, but Kamala Lee Jones does a great job of just getting the points. They are highly reflexive about the inherently biased nature of any analysis and resent what they view as an arrogant self-righteousness of scientific elites. Now, a lot of these things are framed in the context of not necessarily a good thing. You understand? Like, this is more of a, like, you're not trusting who you should in a way. But it's interesting because we've seen 100 documents, you know, I'm just throwing out a lot of documents from HHS, from the British Medical Journal, that are openly calling out the CDC and their politicized nature. We have the Spider Group that reached out, I think, 2-3 years back. Or more, I think 2018, maybe? I might be forgetting the wrong date. But they reached out within the CDC and sent a document out to the world and said, this corrupt agency is broken. They're completely overtaken by special interests, right? We see that now. We saw that when the HHS said the same thing years ago. They said, this is all about special interests, all about, you know, the vaccine industry. It's all about pharmaceutical. They said that. So did the British Medical Journal. Here we are. No one changed. I think what they did is remove the people that they were pointing these things out. And we carried on forward. I even showed you one of them. I showed you one of the guys that stated this. It no longer works for the CDC. Shocking. Sort of like with the OPCW. We'll just get rid of the people telling the truth and bring in our own guys, right? That seems the way they're working now. Quote, many of the users believe that the most important metrics are missing from government-related data, released data. Of course they are. You know, like the individual information, like finding out, like, you know, there's all sorts of metrics within this stuff that you won't find. You know, when you're breaking down by certain things, and I'm forgetting which one I was just talking about today, where it was specific on, I think, symptom. But the point is, we all have seen this. As it says, one user wrote, coding data is a big deal, and those definitions should be offered transparently by every state. Without a national guideline, we are left with this mess. And, oh, this was actually from the UK, I believe. They were pointing this out, that they are refusing to allow them to add a more specific, nuanced breakdown. So you would be able to find them, sort of like they never tested between vaxxed and unvaxxed kind of thing. It's the same concept where they're not really showing you the comparison between the right things. I'm just blanking on what the exact thing was. I put it off because I was going to talk about it probably in the next one of these next shows, but it's constant. And this is what people are saying. We're guided by individuals, not by some if you go from state to state and you've got different metrics, I think that's a guaranteed way to make sure you never get the full picture, right? It says, quote, the lack of transparency within these data collection systems, which many of the users infer as a lack of honesty, erodes the user's trust with both government institutions and the data sets they release, long since passed. Quote, in fact, there are multiple threads every week where users debate how representative the data are of the population given the increased rate of testing across many states. I think that's specifically PCR related, right? The idea that we're just over-testing, which even new studies from mainstream media have said will guarantee more fake false positives, right? This is exactly what we were saying months into this thing. And now it's just trickling out from the mainstream media, either because they've lost and they're trying to, you know, keep this thing going somehow, or that was the point all along. We just talked about it too soon. We were all censored for things that they're literally reporting now. These groups argue that the conflation of asymptomatic and symptomatic cases therefore makes it difficult for anyone to actually determine the severity of the pandemic. Exactly. Because asymptomatic, in my opinion, is not there. As the 10 million person study found, only 300 that they deemed asymptomatic, none of them, zero, were transmissible. Zero. That is science, right? In fact, all the science they've done around these things have shown that that's not really an issue. And here we are where they keep pretending this. But in this case, they're saying that they're combining these things. So what that ultimately means to me is a bunch of false positive PCR tests they're combining with symptomatic cases, which then, for all we know, are just pneumonia or mask issues or God knows what else, the flu, which just disappeared. It's an obvious illusion. For these anti-mask users, their approach to the pandemic is grounded in more scientific rigor. not less. Let me repeat that again. This is the MIT reporting about people like us. The people that are pointing out the mask issues, their approach to the pandemic is grounded in more scientific rigor, not less. This should be everywhere, but they're going to dismiss this because they don't like what it says. I'd love to see them try to call MIT an anti-science fake news outlet, but they'll probably just ignore it because they don't like what it says. These individuals are, as a whole, are extremely willing to help others who have trouble interpreting graphs and multiple forms of clarification by helping people find the original sources so they can replicate the analysis themselves by referencing other reputable studies. Yeah, that sounds like a bunch of fake news, anti-science conspiracy theorists, doesn't it? Do you realize how scared they are of this? Like, this terrifies them because it is real that people are out here doing the actual due diligence and showing the science, and they're just going fake news. That's all they've got. Like, really take a step back and realize that's all they have. Anti-science, fake news, conspiracy theorists. That's it. And now they're just trying to push that in domestic terrorism territory, but I think they're failing. That come to the same conclusion. Oh, that was a continuation. By referencing other reputable studies that come to the same conclusions. By, sound familiar? By reminding others to remain vigilant about their, that's funny, both those words, limitations of the data, and by answering questions about the implications of a specific graph. While these groups highly value scientific expertise, talking about you guys, they also see collective analysis of data as a way to bring communities together within the time of crisis. And being able to transparently and dispassionately analyze the data is crucial for democratic governance. I'm talking about you guys, not the mainstream media, you understand. This is the opposite of what they're doing. Isn't that telling? In fact, it says the explicit motivation for many of these followers is to find information so they can make the best decisions for their families and by extension for the communities around them. What a bunch of monsters. Aren't they just putting everybody at risk by thinking for themselves? God, it makes me mad. The message that runs through these threads is unequivocal. Unequivocal, according to MIT. The data is the only way to set fear-bound politicians straight, and using better data is a surefire way towards creating a safer community. How is that possibly misconstrued as anti-science conspiracy theorist? More data, right? But this is why they tried to say critical thinking is a problem. This is why they tried to say thinking for yourself makes you a conspiracy theorist, or rather doing your own research makes you a conspiracy theorist. That is the statement of a desperate, scared, dying thing. Data literacy is a quintessential criterion for membership within the community they have created. Well said. Arguing anti-mask, and by the way, it doesn't mean that everybody who thinks the same things are all on the same level. Like, there are plenty of people that are out there spreading things that I think are wrong because they just believe. I mean, I'm going to go over one of these discussions today that I haven't personally verified that I just wanted to go over to make two points about it. That's very interesting, and I don't know whether it's real, but I don't normally do that. Because if there's a, you know, it's important that we're objective and better than them. We always must be better than them in every way. Due diligence, integrity, honesty, be better than them. Arguing anti-maskers need more scientific literacy is to characterize their approach as uninformed and inexplicably extreme. This study shows the opposite. They are deeply invested in forms of critique and knowledge production they recognize as markers of scientific expertise. We argue that anti-maskers' deep story draws from similar wells of resentment, but adds a particular emphasis on the usurpation of scientific knowledge by a paternalistic, condescending elite that expects intellectual subservience rather than critical thinking from the public. Gosh darn it, that is exactly what's happening. Man. And yet, in the conclusion, they lament the skeptical impulse that the science simply isn't settled, promoting people to simply think for themselves to horrifying ends. They then compare it to January 6th Capitol riot. Bizarre and fascinating document, right? This is the point, is that they need to bring it to a point which seems like they're arguing for the main idea. Otherwise, they won't be funded. They'll be attacked. And they know that they'll probably be attacked anyway. The reality is all the mainstream media will do is read what they say is the abstract and probably, or just this part, just down here and say, anybody that's anti-masker is an equivalent of the January 6th. Like, that's what their takeaway is going to be, right? But if you actually read the science, which they never seem to do, you find that it tells you all the things that we just discussed. And I am going to go back over this in its entirety because it's just profound. And it shows you that there are obvious, obvious gaps in what they're trying to say is a soundproof idea that we're all a bunch of fake news conspiracy theorists putting everybody at risk. Sorry, guys. It's not true. We know that, though. Isn't that profound? But bringing this over to a very interesting discussion that I'm sure you're all interested to see, the vaping discussion. This is very, very telling. I found this to be, this is just so interesting to me. Now, this discussion is something that I've been talking about from like the very beginning of all this, at least because I thought it stood out as an odd reality. And this is what I said was, this is exactly what I've been saying from the start. It was clear this wasn't vaping. And don't forget, these vaping clusters, as they called them, which doesn't make any sense because that's what you call a virus that's spreading, clusters, were taking place in close proximity to Fort Detrick right after its admitted leak, just before the COVID-19 illusion began. And as Willie Brown says, dude, you called this on day one, props. And Whitney says, I sent this story to Ryan and said exactly that. She's the one that sent this to me. All right, so appreciate Whitney always fighting, because this is, I was very happy to see this. I appreciate her throwing it my way. It's just, and now again, I want to be clear though, by covering this and even saying that I said this from the beginning is not to imply that I am then stating as a matter of fact that one, this is exactly what we're told it is, COVID-19, and two, that that's even what was circulating then. I'm just simply saying that it's interesting to see what I was considering as a possibility and being censored for being now put back at us as something that's being mildly confirmed. Very, very interesting. Let's look at the document. AI suggests U.S. vaping illness cases from last summer was actually COVID-19. A supercomputer called Tiane-1 proposed that an American EVALI patient, which was that whole EVALI thing, it was that, you know, vaccine injury, that's the acronym they used, who developed pneumonia last year, actually had COVID-19. What if COVID didn't appear in Wuhan first, sometime last November? What if the coronavirus actually first popped up in, guess what? North Carolina, USA, right? For those that forgot all this stuff, isn't that telling? North Carolina University? Like, we've gone over all this in past shows. EcoHealth Alliance, I'm going to make a couple more points about this briefly as we go through it, but this was too much to ignore. The timing of when the leak happened north in Fort Detrick, like early 2020-ish, I forget the exact date, I have it up here coming up, and how this, you know, there was stuff going on, and how this, and then we see these vaping illnesses circulating around, and we saw these cases popping out around the country, right? And then we saw, and it all leads in this direction. And of course, in North Carolina, where the material actually came from that went to Wuhan, China, like when they claimed they were putting, when they claimed they stopped their gain of function research, but then simply offshored it to China and continued to pay and work with them, right? It's just, it's ridiculous. People that want to make this a partisan discussion and ignore half the story. That's what the two-party illusion does to you. North Carolina, 3 months before China got hit. That's what a supercomputer programmed to detect COVID-19 proposed after analyzing medical data from a U.S. patient last August. The unidentified American patient who lived in, North Carolina, was treated by doctors for that the vaccine issue or e-cigarette and vaping-associated lung injury. Now, just to be clear right off the bat, they never confirmed that that was the connection. Never. And I'll show you in the mainstream articles themselves. In case you forgot, that's the other lung illness that the CDC obsessed over before the coronavirus pandemic blew up. Isn't that telling? And why would you obsess over, you know, like realize, and why would the CDC even be involved, guys? The CDC, if this is some kind of an issue that's a chemical that's causing issues in your lungs, and that was what they came right out of the gate with, why would the CDC be involved? Wouldn't this be some kind of an FDA issue? Yeah, it really would. But let's continue. In case you forgot, yeah, the CDC is obsessed over this. And just to add this now, remember the discussion points we had, and they'll probably come up briefly again. You know, the discussion things that we saw around this, that there was weird discussions around this, that Alex Azar was trying to point out that there was an issue with COVID-19 in January, which already blows their whole narrative out of the water, which they're, we didn't know what was going on. They didn't tell us, right? But then Trump said, and this is on the record, all he wanted to talk about was vaping. And what does that actually mean? Why? Why was that the focal point while we were literally seeing that? I think there was something happening there. At the very least, that's where he was being driven, because we didn't want to. There's a lot of uncertainties here, but there's clearly something going on. It says the computer looked at the U.S. patient's CAT scans, and this is so telling to me. One feature in particular stuck out to the supercomputer. Guess what, guys? White blotches that resembled ground glass opacity. Remember that discussion that I kept driving in and said, why did that disappear? Why was that everywhere? Why was the only thing we were being told is this ground glass opacity is very clearly an issue with COVID-19? And it just disappeared. I have not heard one comment about ground glass opacity since this discussion came out and it got real quiet. Why is that? Is it no longer? No, it's very clearly still a thing. So why are they not talking about it anymore? Like even in passing, there's not even a reference to it. Doesn't that seem odd? So here's the point. They saw ground glass opacity on the lower parts of the patient's lungs. Similar blotches appear on the lung images taken from COVID-19 patients, which is true. Was this the wrong spot? Yes. Let me move this real quick. I believe this was over here, I think. Jump back. So here is an interesting study that I just kind of stumbled into when I was researching this. They're talking about ground glass opacity, right? And they're saying that similar comes from the lungs. Well, actually, I forget. Let me read a little bit further down and we'll go to that study. Now, it says the patient was just one of five in North Carolina who were also diagnosed with the same, what they claimed was a vaccine injury, or excuse me, a vaping illness injury, I guess. It was so strange, right? This is supposed to be injury. This isn't an illness, but they're reporting it as the same thing around the same time. None of the patients tested positive for the flu, the common cold, or any other pathogens, but they all said they vaped. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that's the case. This was the correlation that they honed in on. Now, that could be because that's what they wanted to use as a cover story, or it could be because it was a correlation, but doesn't always mean causation, especially because you realize how many people vape in this country. So the reality is you could probably tie that with, well, look, they all drive cars. Maybe it's the car causing it, right? You could always do that and make something connect, but it's interesting when you dive into the actual, like the ground glass opacity, the locations of these things, the fact that they were calling them clusters and illness. And I think that there's something telling about whether, like, the testing here. I mean, there's something around this whole discussion about why they were doing this and the way that they acted around it. All five patients experienced the same symptoms. Guess what? Difficulty breathing, nausea, vomiting, and fever. All were hospitalized for hypoxemic respiratory failure. Three ended up in the ICU due to life-threatening shortness of breath. Doctors had to put one of them in a ventilator. It all sounds very familiar. This finding on a, this is from the doctor who's challenging this. This finding on chest, on, you know, of the CAT CAT scan, ground glass infiltrates is highly nonspecific and is seen in many types of infections. Furthermore, Davidson doesn't believe his patients suffer from COVID-19 since a coronavirus outbreak never occurred in North Carolina before, during, or shortly after the patient was diagnosed. Right. So he's just taking at face value that they, because they didn't report that, that that didn't happen. You see, this is the kind of trust in authority that that MIT document was just talking about. That people like us are going, well, okay, just because they didn't tell us it was happening doesn't mean it wasn't happening. Historically speaking, that is like a, what, if the government doesn't tell you, it doesn't mean it's not happening. And history has shown that very clearly. So his assumption that, well, they didn't, it wasn't, we didn't see it, right? But didn't you just say you were seeing a bunch of cases? Couldn't you then ask yourself whether that was what it was and they just didn't know, or they hid it, or they covered it up, right? He just won't even think about that. But here's the interesting point, as he says, it's totally nonspecific to this. Well, here's what the study found. This is 2020. August. False ground glass opacity and suspicion of COVID-19. Beware of the technique for performing the CT. Now, this is what's interesting, though. It says ground glass opacity is a CT sign that's currently experiencing renewed interest since it's very common in patients with COVID-19. Now, again, so my point, it was everywhere. Ground glass opacity, that we all saw it when it started. That was the big talking point. GGC, it's all over the place. And if it's still very common, where did it go? Why is the discussion gone? I think that's telling. I think it's because it connects back to this point, which I don't think they want people looking into. However, this sign is not specific to any disease, it says. So just so we're clear, we know that this other things can cause that. Now it says, besides the possibility of false positive ground glass opacity related to insufficient inspiration during the acquisition of the chest CT should be known. So what they're saying is that people, this is another point before I get to the percentage, is that they're claiming that in the beginning, there were probably all sorts of cases that were called COVID-19, but weren't, simply because of the ground glass opacity. Add another one to the list that creates all these different things. Now that in a weird way seems to kind of like counter what we're getting at here. But this is just the finding of the study, and it's good to be honest. Make sure you see the full discussion. But the point is, when we get to the percentage, you'll see what I mean. It says, we report the case of a 36-year-old patient suspected of COVID-19 and in whom a second acquisition of a chest scan was necessary to remove false ground glass opacities that erroneously supported the diagnosis of COVID-19. Now, going down a bit, This seems to contradict what they're saying up there. Pulmonary ground glass opacity is sign found in between, guess what? 63% and 86% of patients with COVID-19. Up to 86%? Why would that not be one of the first thing? So this is the point of when they were doing these chest scans in the beginning to find out. Why isn't that happening? Why are we jumping right to PCR tests with false positives? This is an 86% of people that have that. You see what I'm saying? There's something strange happening here. And this is apparently rampant in this issue that we're being told is COVID-19. The term is therefore increasingly used with COVID-19 by clinicians, although it is important to keep in mind it doesn't specify only COVID-19, right? So in August 2020, they were very clear. Most people are dealing with this. They're coming back, as he says, it's highly nonspecific and is seen in many types. But doesn't that seem to kind of hide the fact that, yes, very clearly, 86% can have this? Odd, isn't it? But it goes on to say, it to truly determine if the U.S. evaluated patient actually had COVID-19, doctors who need to screen the patient's antibodies. Right. Which, by the way, they don't seem to want to do. Right? They're available. But if they really wanted to find out how rampant it had been, they would have done this a long time ago. It's your choice. I wouldn't do it. I don't want anything that they're trying to test me with to be anywhere near me. But they could find out and they would know. And I said this in the very beginning. Why didn't we immediately test people for these? Test to see if they've had antibodies, because they didn't want to know. But they didn't want to find out this was in the United States before it was somewhere else, because they wanted to blame somebody else, just like the Spanish flu, which started in Kansas. Look it up. Now it says, you know, if they find antibodies for the novel coronavirus, then it's possible that the patient had COVID-19 and not the vaping illness. But it says, but even if the patient came down with COVID-19 back in August 2019, that still wouldn't explain why the first coronavirus outbreak surged in Wuhan, China. Again, because that's how they reported this. Like, we have to understand that. Like, again, this takes us to, let me see if I have that. Where did I put that? I hope I included that up here. Let me see. See what the icon looks like. Oh, the CDC. That's right. Okay. It's important to show this. Okay, good. I do have it right there. I was going to jump to that actually. But so the point is to say, like, it's crazy that we can pretend that just because we're told and shown things on the media that means, well, then it happened there first because that's what they said. That's almost never the case. How do we know that what happened in North Carolina was not rampant and everywhere? And the only thing that was different was the media telling you that was going to kill you, which changed everybody's perspective and everybody flipped out. And then people actually started getting sicker because they thought they were sicker, and on and on and on. Psychosomatic is a huge thing that they're not even discussing today, as well as the fact that the illnesses, there's all sorts of things that could add to this, but it's easy to frame it and create it, right? Such as flu, which maybe I'll just show it real quick and show it again. The reality is, you can see right here that in this time frame, in right before it, 2000, this is 2019 into 2020, right there, which is horrific, right? So clearly, yes, something was happening in North Carolina and everywhere else, right? It's very bad, worse than we've ever seen before. I've looked back years and years and years. So the point is, what was going on there? And did they simply just not tell us about it? Interesting. Now, here are a couple of videos. I want to play just a quick little clip of what I was saying back on May 14th, 2020.
A departing Health and Human Services Deputy Director, Tevi Troy, right? After he left this.
Tevi Troy, Health and Human Services, right? This is the guy that used to work for a vaping company before Health and Human Services. Strange.
Soon took a gig as a high-powered lobbyist for none other than Juul e-cigarette company.
Or excuse me, afterward.
Which, by the way, had run into some regulatory barriers as a result of the Tobacco Control Act, which had just been signed by then-President Obama, an e-cigarette company. How does this tie in, guys? I mean, there is obviously some very weird tie in here with whatever vaping has to do with, whether it's just a cover for where it started in the United States, or the fact that they intentionally made sure to leave open certain vape shops while there was actually decisions made by people in power that they were going to specifically make sure vaping shops were left open during this. I mean, how does that make sense? I mean, this isn't just, it's not, I mean, I could get pulled into this forever because I'm so fascinated by what this is. idea that they covered this up and claimed that it was taping when it really clearly seems to be something that's tied in with what's going on today. But all of these different examples of people, of Alex Azar of Health and Human Services trying to speak to Trump in January about COVID-19, and on record, quote, all he wanted to talk about was vaping. So now that we're seeing a guy clearly tied up with the creation of all of this stuff, tying back to the false flag lies of anthrax all the way back to today, who I don't know. There's something weird with this. You guys have theories, you please reach out to me. But to me, it seems like I think there's something that's going to happen in regard to vaping that's going to tie in with this that hasn't happened yet. That's my guess based on this, that this is part of the PSYOP. And there's a reason that this man works with this company, and this is part of the lies and things that have been being told. This is just off the top of my head. As I always make sure to tell you very clearly when it's something that's my opinion, something I'm theorizing about, which is part of the reason you're here, for us to think and talk and theorize and consider what might be possible. He took a gig as a high-powered lobbyist.
Okay, just on to the next point. For those, I don't know why that would be confusing to everybody in the chat. And now I'm going to play my old video, which I said. So here's the same video, just to further on point. And this is what I found to be very telling about how the CDC was reporting on this as if it was something, as if it was an outbreak, which is how they list it.
It's something that I still find very odd, right? This is the front page of the CDC. And right up here on outbreaks, mind you, as in disease, virus, it still has listed lung injury associated with e-cigarette use or vaping. Why does that even make sense? What is the deal with how, why is it listed as outbreaks? How does that even make sense?
It doesn't.
first of all, remember when they first reported it?
Oh, it's weird. I'm talking with myself. Now, it's strange because this is after they've already claimed that it was like the vaping, right? This is the point. They've already kind of pushed this off into the vaping discussion, vitamin E, whatever else they tried to claim, fake cannabis, even though, you know, it's very strange. And they left this on there.
It was reported as clusters, that it was somehow spreading.
Clusters.
That doesn't make sense based on the idea that it's a vaping material that's hurting your lungs. That's what the ultimate claim was. Oh, it's THC. They never proved it, by the way. They'll say it themselves. That was their theory, that it was THC, you know, fake THC cartridges. The point is, it's still listed as an outbreak. There's something weird about this. Now, I'm not going to push it even further because I know a lot of people think this is, you know,
Well, coming back to today, well, certainly a little more interesting, isn't it? Seeing as how this is, you know, and look, this could be wrong. It could be fake. It could be manipulated. But we do know clearly that an artificial intelligence computer that was set to do this, you know, with the data in front of them, just they came to the conclusion that this was, in fact, COVID-19. Why? Because exactly the point that I was making, that the data in front of you is ridiculously pointing in one direction. Instead of going, well, here's what we think and we can't prove it, with no other connection other than it's vaping and lungs and that we thought there was a correlation. But yet on the other side, we have everything. We have you could even go, that's what I'm going to do next, the Fort Detrick aspect of this that seems very relevant, but you have all of the same symptoms. You have all of the same, ground glass opacity and all the different things. You have the fact that they were very ill, the hospitalization, the ventilation, everything is the same except what they tell you this is. I don't know why we weren't asking more questions or anybody else wasn't asking any more questions. Now, this is an interesting video as well. This is just a clip from that Proletariat Heidi Claire Four shares. This was September 13th, 2019, in Tennessee, of all places. Listen to what they say.
Down with these symptoms, and vaping was the cause that makes the most sense to their doctors.
So they don't know. They don't know. It just makes the most sense. Because remember, before this was seen, there was this really weird push by the mainstream media. Oh, vaping is dangerous, and vaping, and this is vaping. Whether that was because cigarettes or whatever else, is it strange that they got vaping in your mind before this all happened? Then that was before we saw the other thing? It's just kind of strange, isn't it?
There are over 380 possible cases of lung illness right now nationwide. It's making people sick in 36 states and one U.S. territory.
36 states, and they haven't even proven the connection all the way to today. And we're going to pretend like 36 states were all because of some hypothetical e-fake vaping juice that we can't actually find? We are children if we buy this kind of narrative.
Sadly, six people have been reported dead, and they all right. lived in six different states.
Six people dead, right, with respiratory issues. Come on, guys.
So most patients told their doctors they do have a history of using e-cigarette products that can...
Most? Really? So not even all of them vaped, but let's pretend like it had to be vaping all the way around, right? This is why, so they're spreading it somehow, even though it's not, it's vaping and an e-juke? Come on. Now, there was also the other discussion of whether this could have been something that was used to spread this, but that's, again, getting a little too far into the hypothetical, right? Certainly possible. But that was early on, that was one thing I was considering, that it's strange that they kept all the vaping shops open. Like, and that's not a, you can look this up early in the beginning of this. Out of everything they were doing, they were like, they were like making legislation to make sure vaping shops stayed open. Like, I don't even understand that. Unless you feel that there's something nefarious happening.
THC. Many of them said it was a combination of THC and nicotine, and only some said it only contained nicotine.
Right. So, Dale, God forbid, you, oh my God, they combined nicotine and THC. They're all going to die, right? Like, because no cannabis smoker's ever been smoking cigarettes at the same time. God, these people are ridiculous. You know, see what I'm saying? Like, these people are so wildly out of touch. And that's what they think people are going to buy? Anybody, anywhere who's even remotely, like, what's the word for it? Hip, I guess? Like, who's experienced and dabbled in this stuff is laughing when they say, God, the combination of nicotine and THC killed people? Well, sure, they'd love to push the cannabis kill people line, even though that's a joke. An unbelievable joke that is shown to be false over and over and over. Not a single person has ever died from cannabis alone. Yeah, people can smoke cannabis, then, you know, get in a car accident. That doesn't count. People can smoke cannabis, then take heroin and die, and they'll go cannabis. Nope, doesn't count. Just like, or like with Kratom, where Ben Swan showed clearly that they were reporting Kratom deaths. And when you dig barely past the surface, oh, look, this guy had a shotgun wound to the chest. That's not a joke. And they deemed that a Kratom death. This is how they operate. The FDA, the CDC, they are criminal deceivers. As an entity, doesn't mean they're not individuals in there that may be trying to do things like the spider group, but they'll quickly get replaced by whoever's controlling this. And as they follow up here, they're just saying, yes, as I say, I'm talking about vaping illness, he says, talking about Fauci, just declared publicly that we don't fund any gain of public research or gain of function research in Wuhan. Really? That's just so stupid. Actually, this should have been the next one, just to real quickly. I don't even think if there's anything. Oh, yeah, I might as well show you this real quick. Let me just share the screen. I have to jump over to the incognito window because, you know, Washington Post paywalls all their content because they're doing so well, you know. Potential culprit found in vaping-related lung injuries and deaths. Potential. All right, this is November 8, 2019. They never verified this. It says the discovery is a breakthrough that points to an oil as a likely culprit in the outbreak. The outbreak, are you kidding me? That has sickened more than 2,000 people and killed at least 39. But yeah, guys, this thing they never connected or proved, we just forgot about. Anybody suspicious about that at all? Like we just didn't care to find out why they died? Has that ever happened? Like that's just so plainly false. They just want you to think that, yeah, CDC officials found vitamin E and an oil derived from vitamins and all 29 stuff. Yeah, so that's what's killing them, right? God forbid. No, why don't they just say vitamin D and make it even more obvious, you know? The point is, this is so plainly not real. I'm not even saying that stuff can't end up being harmful. The reality is they want you to think the THC was the catalyst here, and that's ridiculous. Ridiculous. It's simply not the truth. And I can tell you, obviously, that what we're staring at here, I wonder if I just close this, if it will revert back. Nice. Why is this out of focus? Here we go. It couldn't be more obvious to me. And I think this is what happens when you actually take the time to look through the evidence and not just read what mainstream media has to say to you. But again, the point was that he's now just openly talking about how we didn't do that. We're not funding any gain of function research. Well, let's take a quick little dance through what's been going on in Maryland, you know, around Fort Detrick. Five Maryland residents have developed this is back in August 28th, 2019. Okay. Now this is exactly this is the time frame we're talking about, from rolling from end of 2019 into 2020, and then again from 2020 over into 2021. Or no, excuse me, 2019 over into 2020, and then the reopening of this building in 2020. Right. So the time frame is what we're talking about, is just before the alleged beginning of what COVID-19 is that they tell us, right? But remember that there's been plenty of groups that claim this started long before that. And now we have an AI computer saying, well, that was also COVID-19. It begins to start to flesh out a bit. It says five Maryland residents have developed a respiratory illness related to vaping in the past 2 months. They're putting this on vaping in Maryland, in Frederick, Maryland, right? In literally the same town as Fort Detrick. Interesting. And again, right at the time when they had some issues. August 2019, research into deadly viruses and biological weapons at U.S. Army labs shut down over fears that they could escape. Why? Because they had leaks. And I'll get to it. They admit it. Leaks from a BSL-4 lab, which means Ebola, coronavirus, anthrax, all the good ones. Now, here they're saying a month later, they're going, oh, vaping and stuff, because all the people have cancer and they're all dying. It's vaping. Why? Because we don't know what's happening. So we'll just call it vaping. There has been nearly 200 cases of the vaping related respiratory illness spanning 22 states, including the Maryland cases. Symptoms include shortness of breath, pain when breathing or coughing, fever, nausea, vomiting, and diarrhea, according to the release. Sounds like it could be the vaccine. I'm joking. All cases required hospitalization. It is unclear if any cases came from Frederick County. The Maryland Department of Health does not release locations of cases because of privacy concerns. Isn't that a big change? We don't release the cases. We can't tell you where they are. That's a privacy care. Not with COVID clown world, though. We're going to make sure you have detailed numbers of cases that are totally arbitrary based on 1,000 different metrics that are completely liberal, as they keep telling us, that will err on the side of your safety, right? Of course. But back then, they said, no, we can't tell you. I wonder why they didn't want you to know where exactly that was happening. Isn't that telling? And then it goes on to say, a spokeswoman for Frederick Memorial Hospital could not respond to the request for comment on Wednesday. Clearly, they're just being open, transparent about the whole thing. It is unclear what causes the respiratory illness. So they don't know, yet they're willing to claim it was vaping. Isn't that interesting? No vaping device, brand, or substance has even been linked to the illness. But wait a minute. Didn't you just say related to vaping? Yeah, this is the kind of reporting that even local, I mean, could you call the Frederick News Post mainstream media? Clearly, they're playing the same game. If it hasn't been linked to it, how can you possibly call it a vaping illness? Because that was the agenda. So Fort Detrick has a leak, right? It says right here, working with anthrax, Ebola, smallpox, and coronaviruses. I always find it telling they left that one out. Coronaviruses have been worked on there for a long time. Easy to look up, by the way. So they have a leak. A month later, we see vaping illnesses popping up all over the place. Isn't that very telling? Let's take this moment to jump over to the map and see what it actually looks like for people that might not realize, you know, the proximity of all this. All right. So here we are. This is Detrick, Maryland, which is where Fort Detrick is, right? So excuse me, Frederick, Maryland. So here is what we're talking about. Here's North Carolina, right here. Okay, so North Carolina is down here, which is where the material was being sent to China, which logically you could argue probably came there from to Fort Detrick as well, just my opinion. But in any case, we know that they're working on this material in North Carolina. We also know they're working on this material in Fort Detrick. And we also know that we had weird vaping illnesses popping up in North Carolina and Virginia and Pennsylvania and 22 other states, but all, you know, kind of clustered right around this area in a very strange way. And remember then that months later, after this thing had continued to get crazy, we saw, or technically, no, I see what I keep doing is I keep thinking of the wrong date in 2021. So the World Military Games. Let's see. 2020. October 2019. Okay. So August is when they shut down. A month later is when we started to see all these cases spreading everywhere. And then a month later is when the U.S. military shipped out of Washington and went all the way over to China for the World Military Games, which were while they were there. Now, understand, first of all, it should be clear that this is something that by the way, after it was reported in the U.S. by independent media, I think this is when China picked this up and was pushing the same idea. Maybe because it's true, maybe because they want to use propaganda to hit the United States, right? It's all possible. They said this China's media reported this might have been a case. It doesn't matter. You should consider it for yourself. The idea that the U.S. government went to the World Military Games in Wuhan and were right there. We're walking through that wet market. People, and there were the reports of American soldiers being sick during this process. And then we also remember that supposedly the most talented military in the world, who regularly takes first place in this exact thing, oddly finished subpar across the board. And oddly, had no social media presence when they normally do. All those things are easy to look up. Why is all that? I'm not telling you I know for sure, but I think when you add up all these things together, it starts to make a really strange picture that any detective or investigator would go, okay, that is something to look into. Can you trace this back? Certainly possible. Now, in any case, realize that this is the area we're talking about, and the timeline is exactly in line with how this could have gone. Exactly. Now, going back to, I wish they could let me share two things at once. That would be fantastic. Here we go. So, going forward, here's the change.org. Where was the date this began? This is from, looks like 5 years ago. They're talking at the very least, right? So in any case, what it's saying, so it could be 2015, 2016, or maybe earlier, if you go all the way down the comments, but just recognize what it says. Change.org. Clean up deadly army chemical weapons spill at Fort Detrick that created cancer cluster. Almost 15,000 people signed this. Why is this not something we can talk about? There's clearly something going on. Now, just in case those weren't here in the beginning, I actually wish that I had the full, the larger clip that I used to play. I don't want to take the time to try to find it, but just, this is the intro I just played. Now, listen to what, this is the reality in Fort Detrick that your government does not want you to see.
We have over 1,300 documented cancer victims right now, just in a 1 mile radius. I'll be quite honest with you, it's changed my life so radically. Sometimes I don't even know who I am.
1,300 people in a 1 mile radius. And what's causing so much sickness? It turns out all these victims have one thing in common. They live next to a military base called Fort Detrick.
Well, what do you know, right? I have to remember to grab that actual full document. It's actually not very long. It's well worth your time. One of the only groups I've seen actually dig into the story, and it is huge. I mean, look, guys, there are organic grassroots groups that are pushing back in Frederick, Maryland, going like, my family's all died of cancer. Like this guy, the guy that was talking in that video, this is the saddest thing you could imagine. His wife, his daughter, his son, they've all died. And he's just sitting here dealing with this when his neighbors got ovarian cancer, his other neighbors got this cancer, they've all gone, like, this is crazy. And remember, we're talking about the same location that has had one leak every 3 days for 7 years, according to the CDC. And we're not supposed to think about whether this is causing something. Here, this is November 24th, 2019. CDC inspection findings reveal more about Fort Detrick research suspension, right? So August suspended. We're already seeing vaping illness, we're told, pop out all over the country, 22 states, 39 dead. According to what they tell us, by the way, I guarantee you, if this is what we think, there's all kinds of more deaths that probably just got pushed away as flu or whatever else, the reverse of what's happening now. But so here we are, November, month later, or excuse me, after the month, I'm an idiot, after, I was thinking October, after August, so August to November, Fort Detrick reported two breaches of containment earlier this year. Two of them, turns out, not just one. So does that mean they were both at the same time? Probably not. So when did the second one happen? It happened either it happened either just before that or afterward. Isn't that interesting? And it says, leading to the Centers for Disease Control halting its very high level research. The U.S. Army Medical Research Institute of Infectious Diseases, U.S. AMRID, announced Friday that it would restart its operations on a limited scale. So take note of the fact that they have leaks, issues, Vaping illness outbreaks and clusters, as they call it, the CDC calls it an outbreak. World Military Games is leaving right a month before this, and they're restarting their operations right before this all begins. The two breaches reported by U.S. Amrit to the CDC demonstrated a failure of the Army laboratory to, quote, implement and maintain containment procedures sufficient to contain select agents and toxins. That's incredible. The laboratory, a failure of the laboratory to implement and maintain the containment procedures sufficient to contain things like anthrax, coronaviruses, Ebola. Why in the world are we even letting these maniacs play with these toys? As it says, level three, level four, BSL level three, level four, which means they work on all the things we just talked about. The highest levels of containment that they apparently can't manage. Over and over and over. But yeah, let's keep going. Well, let's jump up to April 1st, 2020, right? So we're in full swing of this COVID illusion. CDC lifts shutdown order on Army Bio. So removing it, we're basically allowing them at a second date to go back to work at a second time. Because they're totally good with what they're doing, though. I honestly think this is more probably, if you know, my instincts, that there's something more being covered up than anything else. And that's why, that's what was happening. That's why when they had the shutdown in 2019, right before all this started, that they were very quickly hidden. National security. Easy to look up. People were going, what's going on? What happened there? National security. We can't tell you. Now, why would that be? Why would it be national security about something that actually directly affects Frederick, Maryland, or the people around it? They're already screaming about cancer and God knows what else they're doing. But national security. Probably because national security is the blanket they throw over anything they don't want you to see. Well, again, recognize that we're talking about the transition from 2019, August, into 2020. When if this is accurate, that would mean Fort Detrick lost control of something or let something go that hurt people in the United States and spread all through the United States in a catastrophic way. And we just ignored it, called it the flu, did whatever else, which, by the way, also shows you this is not what they say it is today. Which shows you that it is just a severe flu, but still definitely kill people, just like the flu does every year. Tens of thousands of people every year, according to them. So unless you point at it and say, oh, an outbreak, people might just go, well, I feel pretty sick. It's the flu. People die from the flu every year. And you know what? The people that are dying from the flu are probably sitting there going, God, this is crazy. I've never felt this in my life. But it's still the flu because it was severe. You see? So people that are feeling that today, I've never felt this ever before. Well, that's could be anything. As well as, guess what also the flu does? You lose taste and smell and all the same things. We've all had that with the flu. I don't know why we're weirdly associating that only with COVID-19. Sort of like the ground glass opacity. It was only COVID when they wanted it to be. But think about the timeline. Let's jump over to... So here, November. We're on November. Here's October. October 5th, 2019. Now ask yourself, first of all, if they're reporting 22 of these cases all over the place, like, well, I guess because they're claiming it's vaping, right? But doesn't that mean that some of them anywhere would have been like maybe accidentally reported as flu or something? Well, no, then it's just odd that there's nothing happening there. But watch what happens when you get up to November, right? So November is when they start working again. And November is when this has been given time to spread across the United States. And we see a catastrophic reality. That is, in my opinion, I don't think I've ever seen one this bad. And guess, look at North Carolina. Look at Maryland. Look at that same area right there. Exactly from the end of 2019 into the beginning of 2020. Doesn't that seem perfect? And also weirdly, notice how this horrible flu season just keeps going well past when it normally stops. And then right about the time when they needed to keep increasing the numbers, it just goes, boom, disappears. Gone. Gone. Gone forever. All right? With a couple of little weird pops, which kind of, I think, shows you their inability to keep all of these from being reported. Like, how is it possible that can be very high, like the highest possible level in Iowa, and nothing else? Right. Because that makes perfect sense. It's utterly ridiculous. But just so you're clear, looking at, say, March, April, going forward into September, let's take a quick look back at 18-19. Right? You can see that there is still a lot going on. In a time when, in this area, 2021, or specifically actually 2021, is just a big laughing joke. I mean, that this is just absurd. It's zero, nothing. It's all green. In some cases, just white, which means there's nothing being reported. But going back to this exact one, you'll find that in March, it just dies, right? It just goes away after one of the most extreme areas. The point being, guys, something was happening right here. Exactly correlated with all of this. Now, does that mean it's exactly the case? No, it could be something else. But what else? And why would we assume it was something that doesn't have the same amount of evidence and data points connecting to it? Seems like a choice, doesn't it? Any honest investigator would realize that this is a huge thing to investigate. And by the way, there's been a lot of reports. This is just one of them. The one that I think goes the farthest back of plenty of people, including Calgary University. Saying, look, we have evidence of this all the way back in 2013 from frozen waste samples, right? It says their research shows that SARS-CoV-2 may have been evolving slowly since 2013. And when you dig into this, the scientists very clearly say this is almost certainly the same thing. So it's not SARS-CoV-1, is it? But they're claiming it's clearly connected to SARS-CoV-2. So does that mean that this was a thing that got out? Did it happen all the way back then? I mean, what does it ultimately mean? What it does translate to is that there's a lot of evidence this was circulating a lot of other places long before we started pointing at it in China, including Italy, including Japan, including Taiwan. I've shown you all of these, and their governments have said, yeah, we have evidence in 2019, 2020. No one wants to talk about it. Now, just quickly, I want to just add a bunch of these links for you guys to review, because I know that our website, by and large, is completely do not let our links pop up when you search for things like everywhere else. And there's a reason for that, because we've been talking about this for a long time. U.S. Army has admitted to conducting hundreds of germ warfare tests on Americans. This is April 28th. And this is the one I always point out. The U.S. Army has admitted it has secretly conducted at least 239 germ warfare tests in locations across the country, targeting unsuspecting Americans, right? This is 2018, not a secret, but we're pretending like that wouldn't happen today. Of course not, even though it's the same government. In fact, a lot of the same people even. U.S. government exposed for conducting biowarfare experiments in San Francisco that killed U.S. citizens. This is Operation Sea Spray, which we've reported many times. That's a fact. Here's a good one. From 2018, secret U.S. biowarfare agenda, geoengineering in action, evidence-free claims, and political revolution. A bunch of different topics. It is the daily wrap-up. But the good one was about the idea that, don't forget, that the Pentagon has admitted to having 25 biolaboratories, or specifically, Pentagon biolaboratories in 25 different countries. Right. The thing that they pretend they're not supposed to be doing anymore. Right. We don't manipulate, but let's pretend like they're also just working on vaccines in everyone else's countries, because that totally adds up, doesn't it? Easy stuff to look up, guys. If all you do is buy what the government tells you, you're going to be deceived. Here's a good one. Scientists create shape-shifting cell-sized robot that could change the world January 5th, 2015. Well, you know what that reminds me of? Johns Hopkins researchers engineered tiny shape-changing machines that deliver medicine efficiently to the GI tract. Oh, that was in November 2020? Well, it sure seems like they had it long before then, huh? Because this is seemingly the same thing. Isn't that funny? So it's like a repackaging, and it's about getting us to want the thing that they need us to use for years, and social engineering. Scientists create the shape-shifting cell-sized robot that could change the world, right? And how is that, of course, but medicine and all the same things that they're now pushing today? Well, don't forget, virus-sized transistors. This is Charles Lieber, at the time, the world's leading scientist in regard to nanowires, specifically transistors that were the size of viruses, nanotechnology that mimicked viruses. Interesting, isn't it? This is the guy that gets shuttled away in right when all this starts in a very weird story, which I believe I have up right here. Yeah, and this I reported this in January 29th, 2020, guys. It's just funny how this is, you know, only being discovered now. Chinese national arrested smuggling U.S. bioresearch vials into China. This was one of the people that got arrested at the same time he did. And this is one Chinese national that had U.S. biomaterial in their sock from Beth Israel Hospital trying to bring it over into China. The point is that we were talking about this stuff all the way back then. And this is a guy who is working on things that very clearly seem to align with the agenda of the technocratic revolution. And we need to ask ourselves whether this is, in fact, possibly what is happening today. I'm just simply saying it's an obvious question to ask. If this guy was working on nanotech that mimics viruses, is it not possible that that got out somehow? If it mimics viruses, wouldn't it then go on to do this? Yes. And it's the same concept that we've, this, if you do the research on this stuff, and I'm not saying I know that as a matter of fact, but we need to think about these possibilities and why this stuff has been clearly a direction and this guy just gets disappeared right in the beginning. We shouldn't be afraid to ask these questions. Scientists accuse DARPA of genetically, Scientists accuse DARPA, you know, the group that's currently involved with all the stuff they're working on for this new medical future, of genetically modifying insects for bioweapons to spread agricultural viruses. We've talked about this too. Insect allies, they tried to call it when doctors around the world sent out notes that said, this is a biowarfare program. Nobody should trust this. They kept doing it anyway because they don't care what we think. 2020. The long and sordid history of U.S. government bioweapons research and testing on unwitting civilians. This is one of the earlier ones I did, February 2020, where I get into the history of what they're capable of and what they've done. This one was February 9th, 2020. Dr. Boyle, coronavirus censorship. Israel still bombing Gaza. Well, that's interesting, isn't it? Never stops. Mapping out vast West Bank annexations. Yeah, because that doesn't have anything to do with what's happening now. Well worth your time to understand that people like Dr. Boyle and plenty have pointed this out. And finally, HIV-like mutation in coronavirus discovered as Israel suddenly announces vaccine, February 27, 2020. A lot to talk around this. And of course, interesting that they're all of a sudden discussing this in Congress. Dr. Fauci says, quote, NIH has not ever and does not now fund gain-of-function research in the Wuhan Institute. Verifiable lies, by the way. Interesting, though. And by the way, even Rand Paul said some lies in this exchange. Interesting, though, that we now see this playing out in Congress, isn't it? You know what T-Lab and others were discussing in the very beginning and were censored for? And remember, guys, none of these people are on your side. Do not forget that. But pretty interesting that August 27, 2020, you know, right when this was happening in Fort Detrick and the vaping spreading and all the same things happening, NIH awards $7.5 million grant to EcoHealth Alliance months after uproar over political interference, right? So they're continuing to fund the group that they know is funneling money to Wuhan to continue the research that we know they were doing. Whatever Fauci wants to say, it's on paper. We can see it. Gain of function research, which was shuttled away from Fort Detrick and U.S. areas over to China. This was after they claimed they were stopping it, but we can see on paper that they did not do that, and they continued to fund it from Obama to Trump, and to Trump to Biden. They're continuing. Look, if you right this moment, they're still funding other research in China. That's not, I don't know why I showed you that in the beginning when this was all called out, and all the right media wanted to say is, look, they did this, and that's it. Nope. Trump didn't stop it. They're currently still funding research all over China right now with EcoHealth Alliance, with Fauci, with the NIH. It's just, it's amazing how blind people are to points they don't want to see that counter their political narrative. The two-party illusion will do that to you. Here he is awarding money to EcoHealth Alliance that's then being shuttled over to Wuhan. This is the point. It's obvious this is happening. Peter Daszak's EcoHealth Alliance has hidden almost $40 million in Pentagon funding and militarized pandemic science by Sam Husseini. This is on December 16, 2020, right? So we're not funding that as we continue to fund that. It's a joke. And don't forget, guys, it's still going, right? They may not be claiming to, or maybe they're not, sending things over to Wuhan. But there's clearly still research going on in China. And by it doesn't ask yourself this, why does it even matter if they're passing it off to China? Maybe EcoHealth Alliance is doing it in the US. Maybe it doesn't. This is the point, is the research is continuing. Department of Health and Human Services, EcoHealth Alliance, dates, start date, June 1st, 2004, end date, 2025. Still going. I mean, it's just very plain and obvious. And all we want to do is trust what they say. God's have faith in Fauci or whatever people are saying today. Like, it's just ridiculous. But on the note, of the MIT discussion, which is why we got into this point first, because of the interesting, you know, people would call this conspiracy theory. But the MIT discussion is interesting because it opens this door to the reality that we should already know, that we are open and objective, regardless of what the topic is. We want to look at something and consider whether we can consider it real, whether or not it is something that we have, you know, and look, normally on the show, I wouldn't even go into something like this because I haven't yet proven this to myself. But a reason I want to talk about this is one, just to throw it out there in hopes that maybe some of you can find more on this. I'm going to tell you right now that I'm very skeptical about this all the way through. Just because it reeks to me of some kind of an effort to get us to go, oh, look, we knew it. And then it's going to be manipulated or fake or, you know, whatever. And this is this idea of magnets sticking to people after this is happening. Now, the only reason I'm even bringing it up because I've been seeing a lot of these online. And they seem reasonably real, but how would you know today? So my point in even showing you this is we should not be afraid to ask these questions. We should be able to go through and go, let's look at what we have to see here, what the data is, what we can prove, and then go, is it possible? Of course it's possible. They won't want you to say that or even think that. But that document is showing us very clearly that we are what we think we are. We don't need that to tell us that. That's more for them to see that, you know, what they will never admit, that we are more objective than they are, that we are willing to be open to new things, even if they seem to be contentious or conspiracy theory. But on that note, let's just take a quick look. Please be objective. I don't know if this is true.
Hello, everyone. I'm here because I just saw something on the internet and somebody told me this earlier, but I wasn't willing to do it until I saw this thing on the internet today. So I'm going to take this kind of magnet stick to your arm when you got your shot challenge.
I mean, even though it's called, even the fact that they're calling it the magnet challenge, like, it reeks of some kind of thing, you know, the bucket, the ice bucket challenge or the milk challenge. Like it's all, these are all ridiculously organized things that come from, you know, some kind of effort. Right. So I'm just being clear that I am very skeptical about this.
And we're going to see what's going on here because I just need to know. I took a shot. I did what I was told. And I want to see if I'm,
I've skimmed this, but just the first time I've watched it all the way through with you guys, I'm even just going to point out now, are we pretending like he hasn't already tried this? Like, it's certainly possible that he was just going to do it live and maybe that's what's happening, but I don't know. It just kind of seems like, I feel like he would do this. He would just immediately try it because it sounds kind of scary. Like, is it possible? Is it true? You know, I don't know, but let's keep watching.
Something up in there that didn't tell me who shot my arm, some kind of nanorobot or something crazy, but we're going to see. So let me grab a magnet off this refrigerator of mine.
It'd be crazy if this was real, right? This guy's, let's see how he reacts.
I think this one will do. This is my left arm. I got the shot. Still got the band-aid there. That was done 4 days ago. So my arm's still a little sore, so that's why the band-aid's there.
Don't put it on the band-aid. Okay, there you go.
There. Okay. Y'all see this, right?
All right. Well, that's enough. I'm not feeling too good about the response there, but the reason I even looked at this because there's a lot of them and I'm seeing them all over the place.
Here's the magnet. This is the arm. I got the thighs are shot in. And there it is.
Conclusive. Right. So they're saying it's stuck. Here's another one.
I didn't believe it. You didn't believe me. But they are implanting you with microchips.
All right. And magnet. even the idea that we like, why would you immediately assume that it's like, must be a microchip? Like, that's an assumption. It could be any number of things. I mean, realistically, if we just want to be honest about this, is it not possible that the nanotech itself could be some causing? I don't know. But we shouldn't assume. We need to be better than them. And I actually agree in the chat. Somebody's saying the first inclination I had was, okay, this is being put out to discredit us. I that's my first thought.
Microchip.
Fucking magnet.
Now, I want people to see what they find. You know, do it yourself. See what happens. Like, I want to understand this. And one, and I, like, I, what the thing for me is, I find it difficult to see so many different time, different location, different account. Like, there's a, I've seen a lot of this just kind of seemingly random, and they all could be fake. They all could be organized or whatever, or just people jumping on the bandwagon and doing this somehow, or I don't know. But we shouldn't be afraid to ask questions, right? I mean, as we keep talking about. Like, well, like, for instance, okay, so we see again against me saying this is totally silly. Now, the assumption to assume that it's fake, in my opinion, is also just as ridiculous as denying it or as accepting it. We should be open to it. This is the point I'm trying to make. It's the same reason I discuss other things in the past that I already didn't believe for the purpose of showing we have to keep an open mind, right? I don't know if it's true. Again, I'm telling you, my inclination is it's probably fake. But my point is that we don't know, and we shouldn't be afraid to look into this stuff. Even when I first was like, that doesn't look real, I was still noting it down, and I was still going to look into things like this because that's what we should all be doing. Right? Yeah, but there's plenty of people that will still think no, because I already know the truth, right? And that's just as bad on what our side, if you want to call it that, than the other. That's false certainty because we don't know for sure. Even though I probably agree with you, I'm just saying it's a point that we need to absorb. We need to be better than them. And ignoring things that we're afraid they might call conspiracy theory is not being better than them. It is falling prey to their manipulations. Okay, I've driven it enough. It's something strange. My guess is this is going to drop off. And we'll probably won't even see it again. And it's going to be used to, like you said, probably attack different people that are using this and making a whole video like magnets and microchips and blah, 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 without actually knowing what they're talking about or having proof. That's probably true, even if it is real, right? Interesting point, though, is it not? That you can have these kind of viral things happening. But coming over to the vaccine to finish this whole discussion, it's undeniable that there is enough to claim that this is dangerous, to claim that this is worthy of hesitancy, at the very least. There's no possible way that they could be telling people they have to do this. That's what's happening. Norway now drops AstraZeneca's COVID vaccine and suspends J&J jab. Norway seems to be ahead of the game, but realize Norway is the one that proved the blood clot that everyone else seems to want to ignore, as well as, I think, Denmark. But here we are. And again, just in case people don't want to believe it, this is just important. And this is not just, it's funny online, you get these arguments where you show people and it's like, see, they said it. And they're like, okay, one. And it's like, okay, why do you assume because I show you one article that means there's only one? And why then did you just immediately take at face value the headline? Didn't you just say it was all fake news? And now because I show you one article, it's like, okay, fine. That means they're just ridiculous. They don't know how to research. They'll take anything at face value if it comes from a mainstream article. It's crazy. But the point is, this is one of many who have clearly shown that this is the case. As we already talked about, vaccine-induced thrombosis thrombocytopenia, VITT. Your government in the United States, if you're in the US, has already acknowledged this. And yet these kind of people will scream about there's no deaths and it's totally safe because I'm blindly trusting my government, because that's totally smart. I want to include those actually. So hold on, let me close some of these earlier ones real quick. I know you guys love my tabs. Get ready. It's going to keep going. I already saved all those. All right. Got them all. Look at that. All the way down. All right. So where were we? Suspending this. Which is the right move, because it is dangerous, because it's, at the very least, it is unknown. I mean, if every single day we're hearing new things and they're investigating new things, how can you possibly pretend to know the risks, which they're doing? But here is another one from the Defender. Brazil today suspends AstraZeneca vaccine after a pregnant woman dies. Right. All these people that keep saying, oh, there's no problem with pregnancy and reproductive and infertility, blah, blah, blah. Let's keep ignoring it, though, right? New stuff. And this is the point, is Brazil suspends it because of this, meaning they've done their due diligence, right? At the very least, they're playing it safe, which is what we're pretending they're doing here, doing things for our safety while they ignore our safety. New study links hint links vaccine to blood clots. Another one. More countries hit pause. I'm just going to leave it at that in just interest of time. Oh, yeah. And drones are now being used to deliver COVID-19 vaccines because the future is all about, you know, it's just crazy to see this. And people are dismissing this online like fake news, which is so funny to me. I saw someone comment like, clearly that's not true because there's no way it would functionally work. It's like, dude, just look it up. Like, why are people so quick to reflexively say what they think? Because, well, that's obviously fake. It's like, God, man, we are broken. Our minds are broken if we think, but it's real. It's easy to look up. Even things that I think are fake, I take a second to look and do my research to find out. There's things that have happened that I'm like, that can't be real. And you can find out, oh my God, that's crazy. But in any case, drones are going to be used to deliver COVID-19 vaccines. Now, of course, they're talking about, as at least now it would seem, delivering them to people that need them that then will administer them. Not like some kind of drone vaccine administration, but who knows where it would go. But recognize Zipline, a drone delivery service, is tackling this problem head on by utilizing experience and innovation technology to help deliver COVID vaccines. Last month, Gavi, international organization, aims to increase vaccine worldwide, reported that Zipline had partnered with the government of Ghana to help the much anticipated COVAX vaccines, right? So it's all tied to the same groups, Gavi and COVAX and all the same things, which are all tied in with the larger agenda with the WHO of driving towards the Great Reset. This is not hard to look at. Now that, by the way, everything I just said there is like listed on Wikipedia. The fact that they're part of this, they're all driving towards the Great Reset, the WHO, you know, the fourth industrial revolution, Klaus Schwab openly talking about what they want to do. And they, when you talk about it all in one line, it's conspiracy theory. Like, it's just stupid. It's right. They're all talking about it. They're all openly saying that we should use this to better ourselves. Or the great reset is the plan for going forward for the Internet of Things and the five, the new cities and smart cities. But yet, if you argue that they're simply doing this with that line, I mean, it's which they clearly are, it's all the same point. It's somehow conspiracy theory. It's pretty funny. Here's an alarming point from the VAERS system on cdc.gov, is that in general, as much as all of these are simply reported and not verified according to the CDC, despite the fact that they ignore all of these, not despite the fact, but on top of that, like, the system was attempted to be put together by HHS and Harvard, which they researched and found that only 1% were reported. They tried to create the new system and the CDC just shut down and didn't want to, because this system is easy to dismiss. But you know what's hard to dismiss? The fact that right now, out of all of the total reported side effects of all the system, right? All of them, right? As of right now, 20% account for COVID-19 vaccines. 20%. Remember, that's 1% of the total, according to HHS and Harvard, and 20% of the total numbers since this has been open associated with COVID-19. Guys, they're in every possible way hiding things that are right in front of you by just not pointing at them. This is my point about people like that. You need to take it upon yourself. Self-responsibility is a tenet of freedom. You need to take it upon yourself to find these things, seek out the information, and realize that what they're doing is hiding a horrific reality. Why would they do that? Why would they keep from you this, even if it's unreported, even if it's unverified? Which, again, they claim they are expending resources to investigate every one of them, right? We've all seen that. We've all heard that. They're researching every single one of them. Okay. Now, if they're researching every single one of the reports, what does that make those reports? Oh, it makes them evidence. It makes them data points in an investigation. Just like any other investigation, the evidence are simply data points that you collect to try to prove the reality. So these are all evidence of possible issues. Very easy and remedial. A child could understand that reality. Doesn't mean we necessarily know every one of them are right, right? Somebody could be wrong. Somebody could be lying. These are all valid possibilities, but 20% of the total, and then know that that's 1%. Realize that if even 20% of that total is real, then we are screwed and they're hiding it from you. And this is the point. Here's a Dr. Tom Frieden saying, if you're trying to conceive or would like to have a child in the future, it's safe to get you vaccinated. This is a doctor saying that. There's no evidence, he says, no evidence that COVID vaccines cause fertility problems. He says, no evidence. Well, as I point out, no evidence? There are literally thousands of reports regarding fertility and reproduction on the official vaccine adverse reporting event reporting system run by the CDC. Proof? Not yet. But to say no evidence is simply a lie, using the classic media conflation of evidence and proof. Now, here is what Jerry Young points out. Of course, just one of the many in this document. You can go through this document that he leaves the link for because he knows what to do. And he is clearly pointing out just one category, which is abortion, spontaneous abortion, where it says 60, which, by the way, is a huge increase in regard to what they were originally reporting. Hundreds of percent increase, but that's just one of them. Now, I was going to go over and kind of just show you and make fun of this really, really ignorant person that was continually battling against this topic, and I continually kept showing them that this was clearly evidence, and that's all I was saying, and all they kept doing is, you think these things hurt people, you don't. Like, these are just ignorant people, but it's not worth our time. If you want to, it's all down here. You can laugh at this ridiculous just beating, just mercilessly battering this guy around and showing how ridiculous he's like, it's plain obvious reality. Those are evidence, which means they could be. That's it. That's all I said in that tweet. And the reality is people just cannot accept that because they think in some weird way that that implies that everything they know is fake, despite the fact that I didn't even say it necessarily proves that. But see, they just don't care. But this is the thing. This is what you get when you're battering your head against these people that are blindly trusting mainstream media and authority. This is one of the people I was telling you about, where you post the study and they post a link to mainstream talking about the study as if that makes, I mean, and that's embarrassing. It's really embarrassing, but take the time if you wish. It's really a waste, to be honest. But India was doing just fine until they started mass vaccinating. This is the point, and the data always backs that up. So we have doctors that are saying, no, just get it anyway, because there's nothing to say. Well, that's not true. There is endless amounts of evidence coming from even the journals and the scientific studies that they tell us we should be listening to that clearly show you, one, this can't stop transmission, though it continues to be, or I should just be more accurate and say that it doesn't, according to what they tell us, according to the FDA document that I just showed you. Because guess what? As Tal Zaks said, the CEO of Moderna, they didn't pay us to do it, as I keep telling you. I went over this live on the show and showed you the article where he said that. If they would have just paid us more, we would have researched and found out whether it did. They didn't. Your government made a conscious choice to not find out whether it stopped transmission. Why would they do that? Because it doesn't. And we can see it. It's happened. I mean, hundreds of people get COVID-19 weeks after getting their vaccination in Israel. Hundreds of people get it over here. It's happening all over the country. That's why when you look at any of these reports, which that guy kept reporting on, kept stating, you go and, I'm sorry, bud, that actually says it reduces infection or it stops infection. The fact that you don't know the difference between stopping transmission and reducing infection says everything. That's their weird sidestep. And that's what the media keeps reporting. Well, 97% effective against infection. No, it's effective in reducing mild symptoms, which is what you mean when you say that. Because if you meant to reduce 70% in transmission, well, you would scream that. And if you look at the documentation they're pointing to, you can clearly see, as I pointed out in the middle of 2020 on Forbes and other documents that were covering what they were researching, they did not even try to find out. What they did was make sure it was lessening mild symptoms, not hospitalization, not death, not transmission, all the normal things they look for. And that tells you something. So when they start pumping this into people in India, which, by the way, we know had more than 50% herd immunity, according to their government, before this happened. So it didn't really make sense they would do this. We saw the problem begin. And I pointed this out when this started. Remember when I showed you that weird sickness in India that happened before all this, where they just pretended it was some random weird illness, right where there was a vaccination program happening? Right, guys, this is so obvious to connect the dots. India was doing just fine until they started mass vaccination. Take a look. Pause it if you want to go back. Every time. Each time, boom, boom, after the vaccination. You could see it on the graph for those on the podcast. Now, the reality is that this is correlation, so it doesn't necessarily prove that that's what caused it, which we're honest enough to admit that most of the rest of them in mainstream and the little, pandering followers that try to yell these things don't do. It's clear that there is something going on here, at the very least, that what they're saying works doesn't, including mask mandates and social distancing, which they're aggressively enforcing in India, which don't seem to be doing a damn thing. We know that. But the evidence is there if you just want to look at it. Here's a sad, quick video about a girl dealing with an immediate adverse reaction.
Where do you feel the squeezing?
Hold on. I just froze, I think. There we go. Publix grocery store. So again, this is the thing that kills me. Publix grocery store? Like, how is this still happening? I mean, FDA and Pfizer made a huge point on their document that they need to have the proper medical treatment equipment. They don't have that at Publix. They don't have that at Walgreens or the Waffle House or any of these places they're actually giving vaccines. Why does nobody care about this? People are having these dropping on their fit. The next one's even worse. Dropping and having convulsions on the ground and seizures in the middle of some weird auditorium where nobody knows what to do because they're not taking the proper precautions that even they state are mandatory. How do we not see how crazy off the rails this is?
She's really scared. She just got the vaccine and she's upset.
She's having a reaction.
First of all, she's saying she can't hear. Or maybe she's saying, I need air, but I felt like she keeps saying, I can't hear. Now, they write, I need air on there, but I felt like it sounded the first one, at least. It was, I can't hear, but I could be wrong.
You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay.
Yeah, she's saying I can't hear. You wouldn't say I can't, I need air would sound different. But listen again. Put this closer.
She just had it like 5 minutes ago. I can't hear.
Yeah, I'm telling you guys, I can see her mouth movements and I'm really close. She's saying can't right there. I'm pretty sure, but it doesn't matter either way. But that's interesting to me just because of the concept of blood clots and a lot of other things, right? But what's weird to me is this mom doesn't seem to be worried at all. She's flipping out. She said, I'm scared to death. That was her statement in the beginning. And then she's kind of like, well, it's your 5 minutes ago, Like, it's just wild, the media representation. And right now, and watch what he asks her. Like, she should be rushed to a hospital based on what is happening. Yuck. And they want you to think this is normal. It's not normal. It's never been normal to have this kind of a reaction immediately from something like this. It is bad. Are you serious? I feel like I'm going to pass out. I'm scared to death, she says. My chest feels like something is squeezing me. And she's continually upset. But are you feeling okay? Good job, dude. Why don't you go call someone who knows what the F they're doing? And that's the point. But why would a pharmacist know what the hell to do? This is so frustrating to me that these people are being put in these dangerous positions because your government doesn't care, because your media doesn't care. And this is all so plainly obvious.
Where do you feel the squeezing at? In your chest?
And that is one of the big symptoms they keep telling you to go to the hospital for. That is exactly one of the big issues they keep saying for the blood clots, for the thrombosis, or all the different things they keep talking about. Thrombocytopenia. They keep saying, what was it? Was it swelling? I forget, but it was definitely the tightness of the chest. It was, I don't want to keep saying the wrong, but they listed off like four things that were like, if you feel these things, I don't want to jump over and try to find it because I'll get disjointed. I have the document up, I think. But if you feel these things, that you should immediately go to the hospital. That's what's on their documentation. Let's see what the pharmacist says.
Take some deep breaths.
That's, I think that's either her brother or her husband or her something. I don't know. That wasn't the pharmacist.
Take some really deep breaths through your nose.
Slow your breathing, he
really
says.
Deep breaths, really slow, deep breaths in your nose.
Yeah, because it's scary. What's happening to her, she doesn't understand. And do you really believe that if this was just some swelling and some stomach aches and some, you know, some headache, that she would be freaking out like this? Because it's unnatural. What she's feeling right now is alarming. And that's what we keep seeing from people that deal with this. And all they keep doing is, oh, it's normal. It's normal. It's good for you. It means it's working.
You want to get up and go outside and get some air? No.
All right. So who cares then? Right? Who cares then? Let's just wait it out and see what happens. Five minutes this goes on. I mean, look, if this was all it was, does anybody want this? Like, I mean, I know the people that have been completely brainwashed into thinking that COVID-19 is the most dangerous thing on the planet think that, well, that's worth it. Well, if you've got a 1.4% death rate, does this seem worth it? Right? Seeing as how the flu is, you know, in the same vein here, is this worth it to you? If you had to take this to fight the flu, would you do that? And realize nobody has done a thing yet. They're all just standing around watching her struggle because that's what medicine's about, right?
You guys getting it? You already did? No.
She just got the shot less than 5 minutes
ago. Oh, that was a child in line. I'm sure that, I'm glad that's good. I'm glad that's happening.
Did you get it yet?
That woman just said, the second one, I felt like I was going to die yesterday. This is normal. This is normal clown world.
Yeah, the second one usually, it's more severe, yeah. Josh, take this computer, please.
Jesus.
You
want
to take this, too?
Oh, yeah. Get her to the trash can. Good job, man. Make sure this guy gets paid. And I reiterate the point, even if this was all that happens, why is this happening at a Publix? You realize how stupid this is? Like, everyone anywhere knows that this doesn't make sense. This is not how this should go. You don't see this with the flu shot, not like this. And I'm not saying that makes any more sense to happen outside of a hospital. I'm just saying that we historically have come like mildly okay with these weird normalcies because we don't see this happen all the time. But here we are seeing it all over the place. And yet we just are totally just in a public, go to the Waffle House. No big deal. Drive through, get it and drive home. Totally okay. Ah, you hear that too? That's an interesting point. She says we were just sitting for 15 minutes. So that means that it puts it right about the mark when they let people go at the drive-thru, right? So she was fine right up until 15 minutes ago. So that means they will, 15 minutes, let them sit there. And then at 17 minutes, when they're on the way home on the freeway, they pass out and die. And that gets categorized as anything but the vaccine, doesn't it?
I'm talking to him and then all of a sudden,
yuck. trying to hear what he's saying right there. So he says the biggest thing is, and I just can't hear what he's saying. I almost feel like I hear the word anxiety, and it's going to make me flip out. I'm pretty sure the biggest thing is to keep your breathing and not, and something like not to get upset or not to get, you know, whatever. Like, it's already beginning this idea that it's all, you know, you're just working yourself up, right?
Been happening with other people, the same reaction?
Yeah, right.
There's not been anybody with a reaction?
No, I've given 300 more shots. I haven't seen anybody.
Right. You mean the people that sit there for 5 minutes and go home? Right. That's the point. These things happen. We've already seen examples of this happening days later, a month later. The blood clot, guys, that didn't happen a day. That happened a while afterward. Some of them were right away, but some of them happened weeks later. And these things have been confirmed. So realize that it just because it doesn't happen in front of that pharmacist that shouldn't be doing this anyway, that does not matter. I mean, it matters, but it's not the whole point. There's a lot more happening that is being kept from your view. And I'm not trying to imply this is all of them, half of them. I'm saying that there's enough of this happening that makes this alarming. That's all I'm saying. As they all just keep standing, let's get two of them to stand there because that really helps. The reason they're both out here standing there is because they're afraid. Let's make sure we understand that. There's no reason both pharmacists would come out and stand there and watch you while you were freaking out unless they were worried something might happen. They're not doctors. They just understand that. Like, this is crazy.
The Moderna one?
Yeah.
What about the other ones?
Johnson, not really. It's more dizzy at first.
Johnson makes people dizzy?
One person fainted.
God.
Because they got up too fast and they didn't stay with
it. Oh, right, because they got up too fast. Right. That's the way to get the talking points in there, bud. Yeah, and then it looks like it's about to get a lot worse. Now, I'm going to try to follow up on this. This is High Impact Flix that's sharing this. I'm going to try to follow up and see what happens to this person. Let's read what he says here. This took place April 29th, 4 p.m. Moderna shots were being administered at Publix, which is so ridiculous. Almost immediate reaction. His channel, this is from this guy's channel. So I do want to find out whether or not, you know, something continues, right? Oh, here, it looks like High Impact Flix shared this one too. Might as well play it since I've played this a few times. He's got his own points on here. So let's see.
All right, guys, I want to do this video.
Let's just get to where it's playing. This is that video right here where this kid passes out while they're in there and they just rub his chest like that's going to help him.
Slaughter here. Check this out. Yeah, murder NA. Murd RNA. Look at this guy. So... the way I take it, they're sitting in a Texas parking lot.
Jeez.
While people are supposed to, he's fading.
So these guys are sitting here watching this and they're just like, oh my God, man. Oh my God. I'm terrified. And they're just waiting in line. And this guy just passes out. Like, go back. Just look at the way he looks when they just roll him back in the chair, right? Watch this. This guy conks out immediately and they just roll his chair back. Why would that be? You don't want people to see it? You realize how dangerous that is? Look at him. They're shaking his chest. And all they do is roll his chair back. I'm not an expert, but isn't that the last thing you should do when somebody passes out is put them on their back? But good thing we've got those weird nurses in yellow jackets and orange jackets there that rub their chest when they're dying, right? Good times. Who knows what happened to this kid? But you can see it. It continues. And this kid just, he wakes up again and passes out again. Look at that. And the reason they're doing nothing is because they do not have the appropriate medical equipment to deal with what might happen. That's the point. And none of them are dealing. This is a crime. It's incredible to me. Yeah, safe and effective. Clearly working because it's hurting you really bad. Wild. Now, let me just duplicate this so I can have both, so you guys can have both in the show notes. There we go. Okay, going to the next one. Here's a mRNA, somebody who got one of the mRNA vaccines, and just this person that just drops in the background. Watch it. Just watch how she starts convulsing. Like, and this is one of these areas. This is a vaccine program. Military walking around, not surprising. Here we go. Convulsing on the ground. Oh, another one. But don't worry, though, because they just recommended that Pfizer vaccines for kids as young as 12. So the CDC and the FDA have now said, yeah, go ahead. It's all good. Go ahead and vaccinate those 12-year-olds, despite the fact that we've never tested on them, except for that trial that killed the 2-year-old and other, you know, who cares, though? The one that we rushed through in a very short period of time, or the animal trials we rushed through in a really short period of time and pretended like we got the answers that we wanted. Right. This is happening. They're already, and this is for kids that have a 0% chance, according to the CDC. If you have a 0% chance of her being killed, or, I mean, look, they're talking about any effects here. 0% catching, dying, anything. 0%, according to these children. And they're going to say, we're going to go ahead and give them this vaccine that's hurting people. Even if it's a small risk, that is a higher risk than what COVID-19 would cause, if that's even what we're talking about. And yet they're already saying the kids need this. You can't go back to school without this. This is criminal. Look, I don't care if you believe this, everything about this makes sense and all these things are safe and effective, whatever. Why would you tell a child that has a 0% risk, according to the place that you're trusting blindly, that would need something that, as you've all admitted, has some risk? Why would you give them risk in a situation where they don't have any? This is very remedial. It just blows me away. And as I said before, to authorize something for emergency use, which is what they're doing for 12-year-olds, they're extending the emergency use to 12 instead of just approving this. Like, look, if they keep saying this thing's safe and effective, why not just approve it then? Good question, right? Let's just continue to emergency authorize this so we don't have to prove that it's actually safe and effective. To authorize something for emergency use, which is what this is, there must be a demonstrated risk that is perceived to outweigh the potential risks of the unapproved product. Kids have a 0% risk from this COVID-19, according to the CDC. Can anyone explain this to me? Nobody cares. Well, don't worry, though, because Biden said Ubers and Lyfts will now give free rides to vaccination centers, including for kids. Right, because you know how often those kids will pick up an Uber with their parents, right? So now they're going to say, hey, kid, you want to go with this Uber by yourself to get this vaccine? They've already pushed the idea that they don't need consent from parents. This is maniacal. And free donuts, right? Let's coerce children to getting an Uber from their cell phone and give them free donuts. How many kids will do it? How about their parents that are saying, don't do this, son. Don't do this, daughter, because I'm concerned. And the daughter or son is an avid CNN Fox News watcher. And they're going, well, I think my mom's crazy. She's a conspiracy theorist. I'm going to go get an Uber and take this. Are you think they're going to stop them? Do you really think that these places are going to stop them? No, they believe the COVID-19 vaccine is the best thing possible. And that who cares about informed consent? Who cares about children's and parents' rights? Who cares? Because it's good for them, right? Because that totally offsets the law, doesn't it? It's happening anyway. Oh, and by the way, it's just a thank you, Peter, for showing me this. Just again, noting that Alex Berenson, for some stupid reason, still has me blocked because I pointed out that his thoughts on cannabis were pretty archaic, despite supporting him in other ways. But that's what childish people do. But here's what he says, because regardless of what he did in his childish, I still think his points are good around COVID-19. So he's saying, as Peter points out to me, and I agree with this, the CDC and the FDA appear to be adding Johnson & Johnson side effects to the Bayer system as quickly as possible, which is true, while delaying the publication of reports about the Pfizer-Moderna vaccines. Isn't that ridiculous? The proof is in the data, he says. Goes on to say, we know Bayer's has a backlog and that the number of reports in the system has risen hugely. in the last 3 weeks, which they're also keeping for people. Remember, 1% of the total. And all these people, all these mindless followers on Twitter scream about how, oh, we don't know for sure. It's just so pathetic. And they just buried themselves in these reports, which they're just simply not capable of investigating all of them thoroughly, if they're doing any. But it says, but what is not clear until you parse the data by vaccine manufacturer is that near what you can do on VAERS is that nearly all the reports from April are related to the J&J vaccine. But we know there's more reports coming out about the other. So where are they? It says right now the system contains 27,769 reports completed in April 20th. 125 of those, about 75%, for the J&J vaccine. Only 3,193 were for Moderna. 4,309 for Pfizer, even though those vaccines were given far more frequently. And by the way, have shown to have an exponentially higher rate of side effects. That's based on the data that I've looked at myself. It says, is it possible the gap is occurring between Pfizer and Moderna shots? Is it possible that the gap is occurring because the Pfizer and Moderna shots don't cause very many adverse events? No. And I agree with him. Again, the proof is in the data. Over 62,000 reports have been published for Pfizer and Moderna vaccines for January alone. 8 times the number for April. So he says, even though far more doses of Pfizer and Moderna were given in April than in January, no J&J doses were given then because the vaccine had not been authorized. The only reasonable reading of the data is that J&J reports have been moved to the head of the line. Why would that be? Oh, and it looks like he left out the last one. He follows it up and says, basically, that it seems to suggest that they're protecting the mRNA vaccines, which is why he pointed out and said, hey, looks like something Ryan would say, right? But something Ryan's been pointing to, because I have been. Maybe that's where he saw it. The point is, obviously, that's what it seems to point to. Doesn't mean you can prove it, but it clearly points to the idea that they are gaming the data, that they're lying to us with data, which we have already shown you them that they do constantly. So we're not being opaque, it's just generally speaking of the hierarchy enslaving you, right? That's what the acronym is. But when we're generally saying it, we're talking about just the controlling powers out there that I believe are driving this agenda. But we talk about politicians, that we're talking about groups like the WHO, the CDC, the NIH, the HHS, these are all organizations that are clearly driving in the same direction. Don't forget, this is an experimental vaccine, according to even the NIH, as of 2021. Experimental. Don't forget that, as well as the fact that it's not approved. There's no such thing as approval for emergency authorization. There is only approval and emergency use authorization, period. And as they're saying right now, there is not a single vaccine that is approved to prevent COVID-19, as well as the fact that they say right here, which, by the way, was updated as of May 10th, this time, 2021, which says the Pfizer biotech vaccine is an unapproved vaccine that may prevent COVID-19. Not that it can, not that it will, that it may, which is a very clear choice of words, because they don't know if it stops transmission. And even that, preventing it is what they call even stopping the infection. So they're not even soundly saying it can stop infection. But then it says very clearly, there's no FDA approved vaccine to prevent COVID-19 going forward. Which many of you might have seen these already. It's important to point out the risks, which are many, as well as the main point down here that it says these may not be all the possible side effects. Why? Because we're still studying, testing on you. But then the most important one, Pfizer BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine is still being studied in clinical trials. Oops. All those people that want to keep screaming, oh, this is already finished. Nope, this is by Pfizer on the FDA document. This Pfizer approves what they're pointing here. On May 10th, 2021, they're still being studied right now on you. Shouldn't be hard to grasp. I don't know why this is so difficult for people. But also recognize that FDA and Pfizer are telling you, you don't have to take this. It's your choice. If your choice to receive or not receive this vaccine, should you decide not to receive it, well, guess what they want to tell you? It will not change your standard medical care, despite that literally not happening right now. All over the world. We've already shown you doctors refusing to work with people who have not been vaccinated. This is a lie, but they put this down for legal reasons because they don't want to be responsible for the obvious illegal actions that are taking place, such as being forced to take this to go to school, being forced to take this to go on the bus, the plane. But it's your choice though, right? It's your choice. Are there other choices available for preventing COVID-19? Other choices, not other vaccines, but other choices. Well, of course there are. All sorts of other drugs we've talked about, vitamin D and all sorts of things, right? We've talked about all of them. But that's not what they respond with. They say currently there are no approved alternative vaccine. Ah, so a sidestep. Because if there were other alternatives available, which there are, then that would mean they wouldn't be able to emergency authorize the vaccines or the injections they're pushing now, which is why they pretend that there's no alternatives while they really only say vaccine. Classic deception. Oh, and there's no information on whether this counteracts weird with other vaccines. But go out and get the flu vaccine, though, because we don't know what will happen. Safety. Crazy. Finally, the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID-19 vaccine has not undergone the same type of review as an FDA approval or cleared product, meaning this is not a cleared product. It has not been properly researched. It's only because they claim you're an emergency, which you're not anymore, based on the actual data, that this is approved. Excuse me. See, and I authorized for emergency use. That's the only reason that's happening, because they tell you're an emergency. It's not approved. It's not a cleared product. FDA may issue an emergency use authorization when certain criteria are met, which includes that there are no adequate approved available alternatives, not vaccines, but something else that could be used. And that is why they have not allowed those. And that's why they're, in fact, passing legislation to stop you from using vitamin D, stopping ivermectin and all these other ones to being used anywhere, regardless of what you think about it. They're making sure that there's nothing that can be used that can be considered an alternative for legal reasons. That's my opinion. I don't see how you could see it any other way. Those are all things that should be. Look, if you're, all you're really doing is trying to keep people safe and people are dying and things aren't, why wouldn't you just let them use whatever they think is positive? We're emergency authorizing things that are unverified for that exact purpose. But you're telling me that this person can't use ivermectin or vitamin D when they're dying because that's not safe for them? Children, like, this is the kind of people that buy that kind of narrative do not think past their shoelaces. It's obvious that there's not a sound logic there. It says the known and potential benefits of the product outweigh the known and potential risks of the product. We don't know the risk of the product because it's still being studied according to the FDA, right? If it's still being studied, if it's still in clinical trials, we don't know the risks, right? So how can we possibly know the risks or the benefits? Either of them. And how do we know that one outweighs the other? We don't know that, but sure as hell pretending they do. The EUA for the Pfizer-BioNTech COVID vaccine is in effect for the duration of the COVID-19 emergency authorization declaration, which Trump initiated, the emergency declaration that started it all. And that's why these are allowed. Just so we're clear on that. Biden continues it. Unless terminated or revoked, which won't happen. Just wanted to reiterate that stuff. I felt that was important, as well as this one that I'll include. Just so we can see, here's the actual document with all the information that you can read for yourself that very clearly points out that these things are continuing. And the final is November 22nd, 2022 in regard to safety, right? These are mRNA. That's Moderna. This one, same thing, ongoing 2021, ongoing 2022. These are, you know, these are tests. And you say the final report, 2023, read it for yourself. It's in europa.eu. But we're going to pretend like it's all over, right? Well, here's an alarming reality. And this is what's happening right now. They are conflating the vaccine with national security. Remember, we just talked about this. National security is used to cover anything that they don't want you paying attention to seeing the full picture. Guess what? When vaccine confidence, you mean like you and what you think about the vaccine becomes national security. This was today, or at the very least posted on this website today. Isn't that crazy? I'm just going to show you a couple parts here. It says, this is a transcript. So this is a doctor. It's saying, we're at a critical point in the pandemic where we need to facilitate social mobilization at a community level to increase vaccine uptake. If we're at a point where Americans are already going, I'm good, right? The ones that wanted it rushed out and got it. The ones that don't are going, I'm good, I don't want it. So why are they then feeling they need to coerce people into getting it? Doesn't that obviously crosses a line? They are already showing you that you getting this is all that matters, whether that's because they think it's for your safety or not. You don't have a choice. And it all boils down to either you're vaccine hesitant because you're crazy and a conspiracy theorist, or you're on the right side. And they're going to keep coercing until you go on the side they think is right. You don't have an option to say, I just don't want it, because they'll continue to be like, oh, well, that's because you're misinformed. That's because misinformation and fake news. So let me keep coercing you with different things until you come over. And then eventually it'll just become a problem, right? There is no point where you having the choice to say no is a valid choice or option. You're just always a fake news, anti-science person that they need to keep fighting for. That's how they frame it. It says, I think they're really excited that cases, hospitalizations, and deaths are decreasing across the country, right? But less than a third total people are actually vaccinated entirely, so that's not about the vaccine, though. Well, let's pretend like it is. The reality is this thing's already dissipating, whatever the hell we're dealing with, and they want to use the vaccine to make it seem like they're doing that. So at the same time they admit that the vast majority haven't gotten this, they then argue that, look, we're doing well because it's already going down. They're either the stupidest scientists on the planet, or they know that that doesn't really make sense, and they just kind of go along with it. And then they say 579,000 deaths so far. Well, we all know that's not accurate. Even the CDC admits to a level of false positive tests. So we know, as a matter of fact, the number's incorrect. To what degree? Well, you can argue that. But yet they all just keep stating the full number as fact, just like every other thing. Or they state lies about Iraq, or they state lies about Syria as fact, because that's the narrative that's been accepted by the elitists. There's so many reasons that number is falling, the inclusion of flu and pneumonia and on and on and on. It says we've reached a point where vaccination uptake is beginning to plateau. Yes, exactly. So why then do you push it? If the numbers are already going down, things are already getting better, and people are, we already know that the death percentage is 0.14% when all's factor in, which, by the way, Off Guardian does a great job pointing that out when you factor in the full picture, including what the WHO reported, as opposed to what the CDC says, which is a little bit higher than that. It's all based on the data, right? So you don't need to trust the authority. Look at the facts. Consider what they say. My point is, if we know that we've got a very low flu-like risk here, by and large, and if you X out 70 and over, it's basically non-existent. Like, the only reason we pretend we have that 0.14% risk is because we include people with a much higher risk over 70 and average it out. That's stupid. I mean, there's a reason you do that sometimes, but when we're trying to consider the risk for the average person, this is so below the flu, it should make you laugh based on their data. So the point is, if it's plateauing and cases and numbers are going down and we're not really at much risk and kids are at 0%, why are we freaking out? Because they've been convinced that this is the catastrophic thing, despite the data, right? Just on narrative alone. And so they're freaking out. Oh, it's plateauing. Oh no, we got to make sure they get this thing. Let's coerce them like crazy to achieve population protection, right? So that's what they keep saying. You just said the cases are going down, and we already know based on the NIH themselves, natural immunity is already a thing. I'm not saying I believe what they say. I'm just saying, according to the NIH, what they're saying is that natural lasting immunity can be found after regular issue with COVID-19. Lasting immunity, right? So if that's what we're talking about, why exactly do we need to pretend to achieve population protection? If you've already given the vaccine that you claim gives protection, which it doesn't, we know that, to a third of the population and another, you know, millions of people that were there claiming, millions of people that have already gotten this and gotten over it, doesn't that then mean, yes, it does, according to the NIH. If you're believing in their narrative, the point is, there is literally no argument to say we need to keep pushing for population protection, other than variants and things we don't know, like it might future, maybe cause a problem. We don't know. There's no science behind it, as even Rand Paul made Fauci look like a moron about. They're using their assumptions to drive policy, and I would argue that's driven by more than assumption. But either way, there's no science to support the facts or what they're saying anyway. Like, even Rand Paul is pushing the idea, why are you wearing a mask after you've been vaccinated, right? He's saying there's no evidence to support the fact that you need to do that, but they're doing it anyway, right? This is the point. It's about the illusion, the narrative. He says we need to make vaccination accessible, doable, and socially supported. That's what it's about. We need to make sure that you believe what this is, even if you don't, you know, like, that's the point. We need to convince you to believe. Support this, right? That's not, you don't support it, you criticize this. When they have something that comes out that's going to be injected in your body, well, you review it. You're skeptical. You look at the information. Where'd that come from? Who worked for that? You damn well have a right to do that because it's going in your body. But no, they just want you to support them. Good job, vaccine guys. We'll just take it anyway. High uptake of COVID-19 vaccines requires adequate other things and vaccine confidence. That's the point. It requires vaccine confidence. Now understand, they're not saying confidence because we know it works. That's what they would like you to believe. They're just saying confidence. You just need to have confidence in vaccine, period, right? Which is just, it's an idea. It's not a thing. It's not science. It's an ideology. Vaccine confidence is complicated, they said. Get this, and this is where they say it quite clearly. It's really just the trust of individuals and their families and their communities and their healthcare providers that they hold in the vaccines. Trust, right? Not science, not investigation, not critical thinking, just simply trust that they're doing the right thing. Because that's worked well for everybody, right? The people giving the vaccines and the processes and policies that lead to vaccine development, licensure, manufacturing, and recommendations for use, right? So what they just included in that ramble is we should just trust Pfizer and trust the CDC and trust our government and trust the regulatory agencies because they've obviously always been working in our best interest, right? Guys, there is an endless stream of information showing you that none of that is true, that all of them have at every turn put their own interest above yours. But let's just trust all these things because that's what they think is the best thing for you. Either these people are completely lost or they're part of it, man. It's crazy. So where are the vaccine confidence? Where are we with vaccine confidence in the US? It says vaccine eligibility has been expanded to everybody 16 and up, but that's weird because we already know that it's now 12. But I think this video was recorded before that happened, maybe. It's interesting. But it says we're also providing what we call confidence consults. You see, so you're a vaccine hesitancy person. So now we don't just go, okay, you have a right to say no. We make sure there's somebody that can consult you on why you're crazy, right? This is the obscene, this is a dangerous direction of people that might actually believe they're doing the right thing, which are some of the people that, historically speaking, have created some of the worst things in history. Like people that believe they're righteously doing the right thing. Like we're going to kill all these people because that's better for depopulation. Like that's somebody who may believe they're doing that for your best interest. Despite the fact that it's a horrific act of inhumane destruction, right? But confidence consults and strike teams. Where else have we heard that? Bill Gates, right? His vaccine strike team. He's already talked about this. And strike teams and state and territorial health departments and tribal partners to help them troubleshoot the vaccine confidence issues in the jurisdictions, right? What do you mean vaccine confidence issues, right? People have opinions and they have a right to them. And that's an issue for them. They need to address your wrong opinion. This is not even mincing words, guys. We recently worked with states of Georgia and Alabama on rapid community assessment to diagnose vaccine confidence barriers. Right. Which means your ability to research science that's making you doubt this thing. That's a problem for them. A lot here. So I think that the issue of vaccine hesitancy, this doctor says, and vaccine confidence is critical to our ability to really create the better, safer world that we're all struggling for. Now, of course, because it's not just about fighting COVID. It's about using this to build a better world. It's not even buried. It's on the surface. Fighting climate change is one of these ties, creating the Great Reset, technocratic revolution, Internet of Things, smart cities, you know, AI. It's all these things are being shoehorned in as the world where we might as well use the, well, obviously. The safer, better world that we're going to use with a very dangerous thing we're hurting people with. Hooray! It's clear that we need to continue the efforts that Anne so aptly outlined. That's what I read first. No one solution is going to make a sole difference. We need a multifaceted strategy that reorganizes all the different stakeholders, all the different players and partners, and really enables us to move forward in a strong, aggressive, and consistent way. Right. So we're not happy with letting you decide for yourself. We don't care if you don't want it. We're going to build strike teams and vaccine teams to come out and convince you why you're wrong. That the vaccine did develop swiftly, but without cutting corners, not true from a scientific perspective. That's not true. Literally not true. The safety trials were not done properly. Whether or not we had years of science, of technology before this, that well, the safety trials went faster than ever in history, and they combined multiple parts. They skipped animal trials to begin with. We all know this. So they either don't know that, and they're trusting the narrative, which makes them really bad researchers and scientists, or they don't care. And it's been tested now in populations much larger than normally occurs. Oops. Yep, you. That's what they're talking about. And it's now been tested. And they're talking about studies. It's been tested now in populations much larger than normally occurs. Like, I don't know, Israel, you. They're right now stating, well, we know because now we've already been seeing all the things that have happened to you and things that are happening here in the reports and whatever. Now we know more. Yep. The issue of getting COVID as a disease is much more concerning than the complications of COVID of the COVID vaccine. No. How about 0% risk for a child? Care to explain? See, this is what real journalists would ask if this was some kind of dialogue. They won't ever do that. How is it possible you could pretend this is safer for them than a 0% risk? Anybody? Won't happen. I think that was it. Oh, a couple more. One primary focus of this effort was misinformation, of course, with a special focus on social media practices, attitudes. So now we're going to get to a point to where they're going to start changing what you do online. They're going to start censoring people like me because somebody out there made their own mind up. Problem, right? Uh-oh, that guy doesn't want the vaccine. That means Ryan's got to go, right? That's their logic today. There's still calls for more to be done, right? Even though they say we've censored so many people, I don't say that, but that's what they're talking about. We've already removed all these people and censored all these people. What they say is, you know, taking care of this information, but there's still more to be done. And honestly, it made the social media companies realize their responsibility. Okay, so you see, let me just read this. This is ridiculous. It made them realize their responsibility, they say. You know, whereas 5 years ago or 10 years ago, they would usually say, we're just the pipes. You don't want us to be editors. This is somebody speaking. It says they now have the sense of responsibility. Or you mean completely countering their entire platform. And I think we all, well, most of us anyway, welcome that. And the ones who don't need to rethink their position. Right. So as usual, those who agree with us are totally right. Anyone thinks different, you're an idiot and you're wrong. Because these are totally objective scientists, right? So more emphasis on social media. And they all laugh, right? Yay, censorship, right? That's just for those in the podcast. It literally says laughs, right? Because it's a transcript. Do you realize what they're saying? That these companies that originally recognized that if they became editors, they broke what they were, which they've already done. And these people said, well, no, you have to do that. It's your responsibility to ruin what you created so we don't see things we disagree with. We are broken, guys. These are people that see themselves as leading experts in the society, and they are the most subjective. I mean, this is crazy to me that we even think it makes sense to censor people online because they're arguing things that you don't like because you think somebody else might see that, and that might make them think twice about something that they have a right to think twice about. But I'm crazy. Governor Mills offered up freebies as incentives for vaccine holdouts. Right? Because this thing's such a life-saving thing that we all trust that we have to literally bribe people to take. Because that's what's happening. During a discussion with Joe Biden, a bipartisan group of governors from across the nation Tuesday, Governor Janet Mills announced the state of Maine, I believe it's Maryland as well, is launching an outdoor-centered incentive program aimed at encouraging Maine people to get vaccinated against COVID-19 before the summer season begins. The public-private initiative, shocking, right? One of these public-private partnerships, which is that's the way they're going. This is the problem today. This is your government hiding what it's doing behind the guise of some kind of private organization. Called your shot to get outdoors. They called it your shot to get outdoors. Right. So the place that you should already be able to go because they've already shown that there's really no risk outside, but who cares? We're going to use your freedom to coerce you into getting something that you should have a choice about. Is led by the Maine Department. Remember in the beginning when I just kept saying whether or not it's vaccine passports, it's most likely going to be social and economic coercion. And they all said, oh, you're such a fake news conspiracy theory. Here we are, literally living what we keep being told are fake news. Like I said in that tweet, guys, I'm so tired of saying I told you so. And I hate this. I don't want to be right about any of this. But if anybody wants to go back and look at what we said a year ago, it's psychic. And it's not because we knew for sure what happened. It's because we know what these people do. We know what they're planning. And we read behind the line. We read between the lines, read the science they don't want you to look at. Read their documents they exposed 12 years ago. They forget is there. Like, we know what they're doing. And, you know, if right now you're hearing that and you go, you're wrong. Well, go back and look. We called all this stuff. Exactly. It says it's led by Miami Department of Health and Human Services, of course, and brings together the Maine Department of Inland Fisheries and Wildlife, the Maine Department of Agriculture, and a bunch of others. And it says, and the Oxford Plains Speedway to offer incentives to get vaccinated and encourage outdoor activities, which they shouldn't be stopping you from doing anyway. The Maine Outdoors is a place like no other. It is quite beautiful. Offering endless opportunities to have a good time and stay healthy. So they're saying you can't do that, though, unless you get your vaccine, right? Endless good times and freedom and but can't have that without this thing we're going to give you, right? It's just so sickening. With this new initiative, we are encouraging Maine people to get their vaccine and get outdoors to experience all that our state has to offer. That is your free right to do right now, but we're going to pretend like you can't because we're going to arrest you if you don't take this thing that we're claiming you have a choice to say no to. Whether you're an angler or hunter, a baseball fan or racing fan, or someone who just all around enjoys being outside, because we won't let you do it right now, now is a great time to protect yourself from COVID-19 and go to the outdoors. Even though that vaccine or the injection won't stop you from sharing it or spreading it and catching it, but we're going to pretend that means you're protected. So we're lying to you. Go outdoors. I thank L.L. Bean and Sea Dogs, blah, 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 blah. Effective immediately, May 31st. Maine adults age 18 and older. What about the 12-year-olds that just got vaccinated? I guess they're left out now, huh? It's just so disjointed and all over the map. 18-year-olds who get their first shot of Pfizer Moderna vaccine, or a shot, single shot of Johnson & Johnson. You know, that one that's getting suspended all over the world causing blood clots. But yeah, let's get those 18-year-olds pumped up, right? Well, they'll qualify to receive one of the following. This is the most disgusting coercion of people that are probably not even paying attention to what's going on here. And I'm only saying that because of people that are probably more out in the wilderness, you know, that have less concern about these ridiculous things that are obviously ridiculous. And so a free fishing license, a free hunting license, a free Maine Wildlife Park pass, free Maine State Park day pass, L.L. Bean gift card, Sea Dogs admission tickets, or Oxford Plains Speedways pass. So they're trying to bribe these people to get vaccinated for something that they're not at risk from, by and large, especially 18, right? And they're just going to give them free passes to roller parks. Why do we think this makes sense if this is the thing saving everybody? This only makes sense because they're terrified that nobody wants it. And 7 out of 10 Americans have already said, hell no. 60% of Marines have said no. 60% of nurses have said no. A third of the entire military has said no. So they're floundering and terrified and pushing this and bribing you in every possible way they can think of. Now, there was one that I saw. I didn't want to find it. I just saw something that I swear, maybe I forgot to grab it. And it's the same concept. Right, we're talking about being bribed here. Like the government is bribing you to take something that is untested. Like, this is the crazy part. Not untested entirely, but unapproved and experimental. How is that possible? How is it possibly okay? That's not it. I'm trying to look real quickly for what I might have sent. I don't know, those are old. In any case, that's not it. Nope. Okay. Close this real quick. It's probably the same thing I did earlier. I bet you I've got it in there, but I just want to make sure I didn't miss it. I don't know why I wouldn't have lined it up better, but there is another one in regard to coercion. I just can't remember exactly. Let's just go through it. I bet you I've got it in there, but there's a lot of this happening where they're trying to coerce people. Oh, I remember it now. I remember it now. And I hope I do have it in there. There was one that I just saw. If I don't find it today, I'll include it tomorrow, where there is, I forget what location it was, but they are literally saying that they will give five people, $1 million if they get this vaccine, and it's going to be random, right? So they are now, how much you want to bet that they don't even actually give five people $1 million? Like, it would just be perfect government action. But they're actually saying this, we're going to give five people $1 million randomly if you get this vaccine. Do you realize how desperate that is? I mean, that is horrifyingly desperate. So I guarantee that will drive some people in. People in the middle that don't really think too much about this. You know, maybe a little concerned, but they're like, well, shoot, $1 million, I'll give it a shot. Not when they watch these shows, right? Oh, yeah. See, Dale's even commenting in the chat. Yeah, well, let me go through. I bet you I've got it in there. If not, I can just search for it real quick. This is Ontario. Again, the AstraZeneca vaccine is still being given, but Ontario will no longer be offering the AstraZeneca. You know, that one that they were arguing was fake news, the one that they kept saying should be given because we're all crazy and there was no link. We can't find a link. And now later Ontario says no more. You mean we were right the whole time? Yes. Just like we have been about other things. And it says Ontario will no longer offer first doses of this due to, guess what? An increase in reports of blood clots. God, who would have guessed? Who could have possibly thought that blood clot? Everybody paying attention. And all those people screaming, oh, fake news, are still probably not caring to even look. This has always been there. Oh, it's somebody saying it's Ohio lottery. Dang it. I swear I had that in there. Let me just find it real quick because I don't want to get too off track. I'll go over those in a second. This one's next. Let's see. Just do that. I bet you that pops up. Yep. Oh, God, this is so crazy. I mean, I just can't. This is so, so obvious. I mean, this just reeks of desperation. Ohio to give 5 residents $1 million each in vaccine lottery. A vaccine lottery. There is no way that, I mean, I argue that this is probably going to hurt them more than anything. I bet you most people are going to go, really? Like, you're going to bribe, like, this is so obvious. And again, their only argument can be that it's like, what, that somehow those fringe basement anti-science conspiracy theorists that you all disparage like you're a bunch of morons are somehow overtaking the entire medical apparatus narrative. Well, clearly that is what's happening, but it's not because we're a bunch of fringe weirdos in our basements. It's because we're all a bunch of dedicated, objective researchers that are pointing out that you're lying and showing the facts and the science to back it up. And it's not impossible to ignore. We're showing the science that says you're wrong. And then you pretend fake news. Don't look at it. That's why we're grinning. That's why people are seeing this. And that's why they're bribing you with $1 million, because they don't have any other tools yet other than screaming fake news. Here, take money. Here's some donuts. Take a beer. Please take this thing because it's safe. Like, it's just, God, this is like if you had a salesman that was doing this to you, you would be like, what is wrong? I'm going to get the hell out of here. I don't want your food, man. What are you trying to sell me? There's something wrong here. Here, take this. Here's this free. Take this. Here's a shirt. Please try this food. You're like, no. I don't know what's happening here. Something's wrong. Everybody knows this. We just don't want to admit it if you've already accepted the narrative. Something feels off, and I know we all know it. The state of Ohio will award 5 vaccinated residents, $1 million each in an effort to raise vaccination percentages. God, it's so gross. But going back, where were we? Right here. Now, this is an interesting one from Richie Allen. Matt Hancock says immune system is more effective than vaccines, except he didn't mean to say it, right? Let's see. Something else. Real quick, I don't normally break off, but Ohio governor kicks off plans to get states college vaccinated. Governor Mike DeWine's big push to get more Ohio students vaccinated kicked off Monday. He visited the Ohio State University to share more about his plan. We think that will actually increase the number of students that we get vaccinated because we can get it on their campuses. The plan includes working with healthcare providers. Okay. Well, more vaccines on colleges. Yeah, it's just crazy. It's continuing. Ohio to give $1 million each. Back to this. Okay. Speaking to Sky News this morning, Health Secretary Matt Hancock confirmed that your immune system is more effective than vaccines when it comes to fighting off COVID-19. Well, he didn't mean to say that, of course, but he did. Speaking to Stephen Dixon, Hancock said that having both doses of the COVID vaccine reduces your chances of dying from the virus by 97%, which is actually completely not true. That's actually 100% not true. Now, if you want to say that lessening your symptoms does have a reducing effect on whether you're going to die, sure, that's a fair argument. 97%? Clearly not. 97% is the number they're stating for the possibility to reduce those symptoms. If I know that, and I can easily point it out on a piece of paper that's being posted by these companies, then you know that Matt Hancock knows that. He is choosing to misrepresent this in a very careful way that makes you think it's 97% effective at stopping transmission. It doesn't. It's just so crazy. But his point is that he's claiming it reduces your chances of dying. And it, let's just say that, take that at face value. Let me close this thing real quick. Okay. It says, fair enough, but if I come down with coronavirus tomorrow, my risk of dying is actually, according to this calculator he used, which I don't personally recommend you use, I'll show you in a minute, but it's from Oxford University, and that calculation done by the sources we're supposed to be listening to, according to the mainstream media, told Lurchie Allen that he has a 0.0034% chance of dying, according to Oxford University. How do I know this? Because he used the Q COVID calculator developed by Oxford University and used the NHS. And used by the NHS. Now, when I clicked on this, it takes you to this weird thing where you have to like accept and like and consent to the data being used. And I was kind of like, nah, I don't know about that. Not to say if you want to try it, go ahead. But nonetheless, it's being stated by the NHS and Oxford. And if we're supposed to believe that 0.0034% is dangerous, Richie Allen is not a young man. right? I mean, think about that. That is the reality that they're hiding from you. All they do is give you this over this broad number that's combining the most at risk and pretending like you're in danger. You realize how far that is from 3.4% danger that they lied to you about in the very beginning? The asymptomatic or the symptomatic, yeah, the asymptomatic risk, all the things they created to lie to you about the danger. Yeah, that's the point. And he says, I've got more chance of being pelted to death by squirrels chucking chestnuts at me while walking in the local park than dying from COVID-19. It's important to always keep in mind that treatments Hancock referred to this morning are not vaccines. They don't prevent, well, I would say they don't stop transmission. Technically, I agree with them. They don't prevent illness because I don't see any real world data to associate with. It's ridiculous how they're making statements that aren't backed up by any real world data, but their claim is that it stops illness. It reduces illness, but doesn't stop transmission. But in any case, his point is the same, that he's telling you that if it's only 97% risk, which by the way, he's also wrong about because he's referring to symptoms and blah, 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 blah. But use the calculator and realize that you are not at risk, according to the sources they tell you should be listening to. This is the kind of clown world we're living in right now. And even crazier, if you use their calculator and show people that, they'll still think you're crazy because they're convinced it's dangerous regardless of what the same sources they're trusting say. If the CDC came out tomorrow and said, this is fake news, all things fake, they'd be like, nah, I don't trust the CDC anymore. You know, it's about narrative and gospel. And so even like when the WHO came out and said, no, lockdowns are not the thing to do, they all didn't care. And they said, well, the WHO is not even real. Okay. Well, suddenly it went from trust them no matter what to we don't like what they're saying, so we're going to keep doing our thing. But we get censored when we challenge the WHO. It's just comical. Like someone is one day going to write a ridiculous thing about this, and it is going to be, this is going to go down in history as one of the most absurd psychological operations in the history of humanity. If it ever gets really fleshed out, or, you know, who knows, maybe they win, which means we didn't do our job. I don't think that's going to happen. I truly believe that they are reeling right now based on how many people are paying attention. I really believe that. But Doctors for COVID Ethics are pointing out that Israel is the testing ground for vaccine passports, which we know they've already been starting this. And this is the interesting part about this. And you can read the information for yourself. According to this independent report from, and this is the one that I read you guys. Remember, I read this to you in a previous show. The scheme saw a 32% increase in mortality among 20 to 29 year olds on the same time period. Right? An age group that's at near zero risk from COVID-19. So vaccine passports created a 32% increase in death amongst 20 to 29 year olds. But it's okay though, right? Because COVID bad, dangerous, COVID bad. And we're all just going to pretend like that's all that matters. And Governor Kate Brown is pointing out that she's now setting a specific statewide target to open, to allow you to go back to the life that they shouldn't have been able to take from you. Right? To reopen the economy that they destroyed without any justification. That's, of course, getting 70% of people to get the injection. 70%. 70%. You realize that 70% of the people are at no risk, right? You're talking about 70 and older that are at the most risk. And under that, it goes exponentially down. But nonetheless, she's going to mandate, force in, manipulate people to get it until 70%, or she won't give back your freedom that she's not allowed to take. It says that's the number of Oregonians age 16 and older that we want to get the first dose. I'm confident we can in June, right? With the first dose. So it's weird. Just one. Just get one in your arm and we'll go from there. 16-year-olds, which have a 0% risk. This is a dictator. This is an authoritarian rule. And as somebody pointed out, the Merriam-Webster Dictionary has changed the definition of anti-vax to include people who oppose laws that mandate vaccination. Let's read it. It says, a person who opposes vaccination or laws that mandate a vaccination or mandate vaccination. Well, that's interesting. Now, regardless of whether it was changed, I found it to be pretty telling. Now, I want to make a point that I don't know whether this was altered or not, but I did look at the Wayback Machine in 2018, and it does appear that they said the same thing. So I don't know whether the Wayback, we know the Wayback Machine has been, they've already deleted stuff on there, blah, blah, blah. I'm not saying that's what happened. I would honestly, I believe this has just simply been this way. And people just kind of stumbled into it again and said, whoa, they must have changed that, because they already have changed the definition of vaccine very clearly. I've shown you side by side. They've already changed the definition of herd immunity. I showed you side by side. But in this case, it doesn't look like they necessarily changed it. Maybe they changed it 2018, which would still be crazy. Regardless, I find it absolutely, what's a better word than that? This is, it's dishonest at the very least. that they're saying that it's in laws that mandate vaccination. So if you refuse something that challenges your idea of freedom, it doesn't even have anything to do with what is being mandated, you're then an anti-vax. Did you realize how stupid that is? Like, that is counter to this is because people have an agenda. That's why this is being worked in, whether it happened in 2018 or before or anything else, because that is crazy. You can't claim that somebody who's against a mandate of an injection is against vaccines unless they say they're against vaccines. Maybe they're just against you forcing things in their arm. But you see, they don't care about the nuance or the distinction. They don't care because the agenda is about naming anybody against this because vaccines are all good at all costs as anti-vax, even people who are vocally pro-vax. And that's true. I mean, Robert F. K. Jr., Dr. Yeadon, these people all said that they're definitely pro-vaccine technology. They just don't trust what's happening today. And the anti-vax, anti-science, irrational. It's maniacal. These people have lost their minds, in my opinion, because of the government. But to finish off, Ron DeSantis, guess what? Declares a state of emergency. Now, what do you know? But not about COVID. It's about that hack on the pipeline that we clearly think is not what we're being told. Whitney and I keep putting this off because we're going to talk about it. And we're still not feeling good today. We might connect tomorrow, on and on. We'll eventually connect and we'll talk about this. But the idea is that this is connected to cyber reason and the whole way that they broke this down. And Whitney called this all. She told you this would happen. The point that DeSantis is now declaring a state of emergency, which, by the way, continues the whole thing. It doesn't matter what state of emergency is for. There's a state of emergency, which means they can emergency authorize vaccines. That's why this just happened, guys. Because guess what? The vaccine's still going. And he already said, well, your individual businesses can do that if they want. Well, yeah, because that means it's going to continue. So all this fair giving to him, oh, he's such a great guy fighting for our freedom. It doesn't really seem that way to me. Especially since if individual businesses can still make you wear a mask and still force you to have a vaccine to go in their business, which is against your literal freedom, against the Constitution, then he's not fighting for your freedoms. He's fighting for political reasons. I could be wrong, but I don't know why we trust any of these people. He's going to talk about president to, well, I guess that's somebody who was supporting him. It says now zero term. The point is that this is clearly continuing the problem, even if he doesn't realize that. The whole thing continues. You know what else is going to continue? Well, the state of emergency can now be shifted into other things too. What about climate change? What about all this stuff? It's all going to be used the same way because it's not just about COVID. It's about control. It's about the future they're building. Jonah points out, Connecticut Governor-led Ned Lamont is calling on the National Guard to break strikes among 5,000 group home and nursing home workers. You know, heroes, according to the mainstream media, up until they didn't want the shot. I guess they're not heroes anymore because they're refusing to work because you guys are doing bad things. But it's funny how I thought they were all heroes, right? They're all heroes no matter what. Trust all women. Science is settled, right? All these absolutes up until it doesn't work for them anymore. Isn't that perfect? Because they're a bunch of deceiving liars. They're emotional manipulators is what they are. But he's saying they're going to use the National Guard to break the strike. So these are people that are going to strike because they feel that they're being wronged. And so instead of recognizing that they feel wronged and trying to come to a conclusion, he goes, we'll bring in the military. We'll just make them work in your place because we care about the people, right? These are people that are struggling. These are people that are going through an economic downturn because you shut down the economy, because our government shut down the economy. And you're going to just bring in the military that comes out of your tax dollars to remove them and keep going without them? Yes. Now, guys, this is what he's basically saying down here. To be clear, this is a strike breaking. Doing the work in place of the strike undermines the break of the strike. So this is abusing power, abusing your tax dollars, and abusing your support for him as a politician. All of this because he doesn't want to stop what he's doing. Israel, as I pointed out before, using COVID-19 quarantine tracking technology to track private individuals protesting against its policies. Same thing. So people that don't like the lockdown, well, we're going to track them. We're going to track them and send them secret messages that say you've been profiled and you'll be punished, you know, because democracy, right? It's all freedom and democracy over there because you'll be punished for doing something they don't like you doing, which is totally just being in a certain place. All about democracy, though, right? Well, Toronto Star's reporting Premier Doug Ford's progressive conservatives are setting the table to extend Ontario's pandemic stay-at-home order for another 2 weeks. You know, 15 days to flatten the curve. Just over and over and over and over and over and over and over until they just decide that they get what they want or they can pretend this is good forever. Because climate change or whatever's coming. but they're continuing. Declared a state of emergency on April 16th. What do you know? Isn't that, it's what a coincidence. Why? Because Trump declared the national emergency that allowed this all to happen, just like Biden is continuing it. They're keeping this going despite there literally not being an emergency based on their metrics from before this started. You can't make this stuff up. It's a joke. It's unbelievably ridiculous. And then what the worst part is, they know that we see them, right? They know what I'm saying. They know they made a pandemic chart that showed that what we're in right now is maybe one or two before COVID-19 started, and then quietly tucked that away when this became something that wasn't really severe, right? This is very obvious, and they know that we see this. They hear what I'm saying, and that's why they censor us. We need to stay at home for right now. Gosh darn it, guys. And this is what gets crazy. It says this is for a bill. I was going to play. Let me play this first then. Let's start with that one. So this is absolutely insane clip on the online safety bill, right? So this is manipulating online because of people that are talking about things they don't want them talking about. This is not journalism. This is PR for the government, right? So here is the supposed mainstream journalists who are simply allowing them to promote the thing that we don't want, that people are aggressively pushing back against. Now it says this could potentially save people's lives. Social media firms will have to remove harmful content quickly or potentially face multi-multi-billion-dollar pound. All they're doing is creating something that gives them even more reason to remove anything for any reason. Well, I don't get a fine. So now they don't even need to say medical misinformation. They don't even need to say anything. They just need to say, well, it might be dangerous, so I don't want a $1 million fine. So delete it.
Safer, I suppose. Are children safer, I suppose, is ultimately the question.
Children.
Around there, potentially and ultimately, this could potentially save lots of people's lives. You all know that it is desperately needed as parents, but it is a very ambitious aim.
Oh, we all know, huh?
To remove content such as self-harm videos off social media and other platforms.
Right, because that's what it's all about, self-harm videos. That's why we're ramming this through in the middle of this so-called pandemic, right? Because it's about self-harm videos, right? This is clearly about censoring what they don't want you talking about. In any case, he rambles on about what we all need to do, and this is, oops. Oh, that's right. It was just right. Let's go back here. So this says, was it for this bill? I have a collection of 142 accounts that all tweeted the exact same message. Right, because it's not like they're trying to manipulate you at all, right? More and more people are scared of getting vaccinated after reading anti-vax fake news online. We finally need a law to rein in social media giants. Right. That's of course, coincidence, right? 10:45, not November 19th. Here it is on 12 p.m., November 19th. More and more people are scared of getting vaccinated after reading anti-vax fakes online, and we finally need a law to rein in social media giants. Over and over and over, different counts. Over, 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 over. Right. Are we going to pretend they all just copied each other and shared exactly the same thing? Of course. Of course they did, right? This is a propaganda campaign intended to get you believing that this bill that will stop you from being able to think what you want or look at what you want is for your best interest or for your children's best interest, because self-harm videos, even though the whole push is about vaccines, because that's all it's about. Here's some more. Same script. It's one rule for Boris Johnson's closest advisor, another for everybody else. It's one rule for, you know, they repeat it. This is what, if we believe that social media is real today, if you don't understand that all the governments are out there botting the hell out of everything and trying to coerce you with all sorts of things, coerce you into buying certain clothes, coerce you into eating certain foods, coerce you into blindly trusting your government, they're aggressively doing so. They're watching every single thing you push and what you look at and trying to spin it in a way that makes you think what they want you to think. If you don't understand that, then you are lost today. It is everywhere. And it's been painfully obvious for 20 years. Or is that overkill 20? No, that's definitely right. I mean, you can have another five, right? The point is, clearly this has been going on since the beginning of all this. They have used people online to manipulate you. In fact, that might have been the very purpose that just didn't work out the way they wanted it to, right? The internet clearly has worked out in the reverse. But continuing forward. The same script.
The fact is, we still have work to do. The family does not get to have their loved one back. There is still work to be done.
And while this is a step in the right direction, there's still a lot of work to be done.
But this is just one stop. There is more work to be done.
It's a feeling like, okay, this happened. Now the work really begins.
So we can't leave this moment or look away thinking our work is done.
this moment is where the work begins.
We've got a lot of work to do, but this feels like a beginning rather than an ending.
We have a lot of work to do in this country because systemic racism has infected us all.
And we know that until we stop the violence, then we have work to do.
There's a lot of work to be done.
These are party talking points, right? This is not even secret. They tell them what to think. Tulsi Gabbard has talked about this. I mean, they the moment they walk in, they tell them, you go that way, you don't talk to them, you don't do this. Like, it's controlled. And they tell them what, and the media too. Mr. Good old Don Lemon right there, that did not want to be a news guy, wanted to be an entertainment guy, right? But they said, no, we want you looking around. So, you know, he pretends like he's Mr. Serious and he's very educated. No, the guy wanted to be an entertainment news. Okay, these are blow-dried idiots in an ivory tower, as we've heard before, that are just repeating what they're told. And I'm kind of being facetious. Who knows? Maybe they're smart. Maybe they have intelligence, but clearly not enough to be able to think for themselves, because they will mindlessly repeat what they're told. Same with politicians. This is why you catch them repeating the same speeches and the same things from previous years, because they're just the same old tired illusion over and over and over. This is just crazy to me, though. It's all about the vaccine, as I said, despite the push on the media about something else. Now, why would you push the opposite? Because you don't want people knowing that you're pushing against vaccines, because that's a scary, because they know that we see that something's happening. So they frame it as, you know, self-harm, we're looking for our kids, and then they push off a massive push, by the way, using famous people. Oh, never mind. I thought that was Bill Murray. I was like, no way. Not the real Bill Murray. But anyway, people, I was going to be surprised if that was the case, because you would think they would intentionally use bots, which seems like this is probably the case. And regardless, it's clear that this was the agenda. And on the same note, and from a different, you know, slightly different perspective, trying to frame the same thing and use it for his own political ends, NDP leader calls for national security crackdown only on far-right extremists who are protesting against government lockdowns, right? So, not against the left ones over there that are protesting against lockdowns, because there's plenty. This is a bipartisan effort. You can look at these protests, and there's not just one side. There is everybody. You know, there's all sorts of walks of life from all sorts of different political perspectives who are all marching and saying this is madness. And he comes out and goes, those far right extremists need to be stopped, because that makes sense, right? Because it's not obviously a political agenda.
There is connection with people who aren't wearing a mask or who aren't following public health guidance, and the extreme right, and the idea that folks in the extreme right don't care about people around them.
Are you concerned about
the safety and well-being of
people. So he is just broad brushing everybody in what he calls the extreme right, which is all sort of, I mean, I've been called extreme right, which is so dumb, as they don't care about people around them. Is that even real? Like, this seems like a cartoon. Like, this guy is an idiot if he said that out loud, because that is so ridiculous. But you see, this is how people are being dumbed down. We are being brought down to this remedial level of just like basic lazy propaganda. Didn't we all used to know that broad brushing an entire group was ignorant? I bet you this guy would make the same argument if this was some kind of a race-related issue. And it was you can't broad brush everybody in this direction. Of course you can't, because that's racist, right? So how about you don't do the same thing? I mean, it's just ignorant, man. These people are crazy. This is why you can't trust any of these people. They're all deceivers. The Lancet points something out that Huxley shared with me that I want to just, and just really one of these that I thought was the most alarming. This says, for the past 8 months, The independent panel has been examining the state of pandemic preparedness and responses to COVID-19 in a new report. They describe 13 key events that shaped its course and outline recommendations to make this the last pandemic. Or, you know, maybe make this pandemic last. But let's see. What does it say right here? The World Health Organization to formalize, I can't highlight it, it's a screenshot, but the World Health Organization to formalize universal periodic peer reviews as a means of accountability. Oh, universal. So like a worldwide thing that applies to everybody. It's almost like they're, you know, leaning into the future they're building, right? All national governments to update their national preparedness plans against targets and benchmarks to be set by the WHO within 6 months, ensuring there are no appropriate relevant skills, logistics, and funding available to cope with future health crises. except the fact that every time they look into what they don't have, they seem to never follow up and get it. It's almost like they just want you to know they're unprepared before the crisis hits. But it says the International Monetary Fund needs to include routinely a pandemic preparedness assessment. So more event 201s, of course, right? Including an evaluation of economic policy response plans as part of the Article 4 consultation with member countries. WHO to establish, get this, a new global system for surveillance based on the full transparency by all parties using digital tools. Great. So now the WHO can have a global surveillance system for your benefit, though, all to stop pandemics. Totally makes sense. The World Health Assembly to give WHO both the explicit authority to publish information about outbreaks with pandemic potential immediately without requiring the prior approval of national governments and the ability to dispatch experts to investigate pathogens so they can just make up their mind on their own. Totally. Who needs experts to look on the ground? We'll just assume and make statements with on our own volition. There's a bunch of more points in there. This is just alarming stuff. It all leans into the reality that they're quietly telling you they're all leading toward, right? If you just listen, 2030, you'll own nothing and you've never been happier, according to the WEF and a lot of other WEF, yeah, and other people. Forbes talked about it. Lots of them talked about it. Or the fact that we're talking about converging technologies in 20 years, which would put us right now, which would, you know, ever alter evolution. Like all these different things, talking about the creation of the vaccine passports between 2021, right? It's all coming out at the same time. It's impossible not to see where this is going. As Nova points out, drum roll, as she suspected that due to the vast business closures resulting from this COVID calamity, that's a good way to put it too, unemployed workers are now being lured to relocate to, guess what? Fourth Industrial Revolution equipped smart city habitats. Weird. That's not a perfect alignment with what I was just saying. The same is occurring around the world. Don't say this wasn't planned. Wall Street Journal, cities located far from the coast emerged as beacons to job seekers and businesses turning during the pandemic. But which metro areas are America's now new boom towns? Right. So you lost your business because they put you on lockdown and didn't justify why? Well, sure. Come on over to our smart city and we'll take care of you. Because that doesn't seem coordinated at all. Right. There are far more than just 12 cities in the U.S. that have received funding for Fourth Industrial Revolution smart city transformations. Plus, this scheme is being done around the world to move people off the land into these contained and completely surveilled megaplexes. Now, sure, some people say it's for your benefit, but there's a lot more happening around that topic that shows you quite clearly that it's far more about control. And also that most Americans don't want this, but it's happening anyway, which tells you something. You do understand that these psychopath capitalists crush the system for this, right? Great Reset, the new society, where you'll eat bugs with cameras up your body, all the different things. There's so many crazy things circulating around this topic, but this is definitely a reality that they are pushing. I mean, all of this is leading in the same direction, which is why this stuff is alarming to see these converging, exploring biological convergence from Canada, right? Policy Horizons Canada. This is a new document, right? Exploring 2019, newer than the other one I'm going to show you, exploring bio-digital convergence, right? You know, the convergence of your biological identity, right? Where have we heard that before? Oh, dang it. Forgot to put that back. Hold on. That drives me crazy. I wish this was more in the right. That works fine. All right, but where have we heard that concept before of converging those things? I know you all know what I'm going to play.
What the fourth industrial revolution will lead to is a fusion of our physical, our digital, and our biological identities.
I would also clip out that one where he talks about in 2016, I just showed this, in 2016, where he talks about how, you know, we'll start with wearables, which Whitney just talked about. And then we'll go to brain chips and being able to communicate and blah, 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 back in 2016 in French. If it wasn't in French, I would be playing it all the time. But I don't want to explain it and show the subtitles every time. But guys, it's all over. They've been discussing this openly forever. And yet today, if you even mention the concept of microchips, you're the most crazy person alive. Here's Klaus Schwab telling you that's your future, that's at least what he wants to be the future. And yet this is the guy leading the Great Reset. But we're all crazy, though. I'm not even saying that's guaranteed to happen or that he wants it to happen. I'm just saying that it's very obviously something that we shouldn't just dismiss out of hand. because it's obviously an agenda that's openly talked about by all sorts of people involved, but crazy fake news because people are really stupid. But here, I'm half kidding, but there's a lot of people that are. But don't forget, Converging Technologies for Improving Human Performance in 2002. This is what Klaus is mentioned, pointing to. This is the document they talk about this, the converging of these technologies. And that's what it even shows. Right? It shows the image, the way that they frame this. It's about converging these things, converging technologies for improving human performance. The integration and synergy of the four technologies, nano technology, biotechnology, information technology, and cognitive technology, combining them all for somebody's benefit. Doesn't seem like it's yours, to be quite honest, but it's going to 2019. I mean, it's clearly that this has happened. They're all, hey, exploring this thing that we've been planning for 20 years. Let's just explore it like it's new, you know? Funny, isn't it? But to leave it there, I think we all see where this is going. It's just about continuing to fight to show people what's really happening. You know, it's about continuing to inform and awaken people to the reality and show them the facts to back it up. It's all we can do. And we just got to keep trying. So, in this context, I should say, obviously there's more real world action we should all be taking. But in this context, this is all we can do and just keep pushing, keep talking, keep communicating and creating dialogue, even if it leads to them dismissing what you're saying. Continue to plant the seed. All we can do. I love you all. Thank you for continuing to be here and supporting this channel. Keep spreading the word. I love you all. Question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.